This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Welcome back to TSN 1290's coverage of Day 2 of the NHL Draft. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you in studio. We are the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. The Winnipeg Jets having just selected in the fourth round Henry Nikkanen at number 113. The Jets next up at number 134 in the fifth round, and then again number 144 in the fifth round. Those currently right now will be the Jets' last two picks of the 2019 NHL Draft. Pleased to be joined on the line now by Josh Cooper from TheAthletic.com. Josh, good afternoon. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure, Josh. Now, of course, you do cover the Southern California teams for TheAthletic.com, that being the Los Angeles Kings and the Anaheim Ducks. The Kings had a pretty good first round selecting Alex Turcotte at number 5 overall, and then they follow up that one with a pick that a lot of people like. I guess they had the second round. They had the other pick with Tobias Bjornfort at number 22 in the first round, and then they probably had to be absolutely thrilled to see Arthur Kaliev sitting there in the second round at number 33 overall.
Well, the greatest thing about Bjornfort is that apparently if guys were going to go in the first round, the two, they had their own walk-up music, and his was Ava's Mamma Mia. So, I mean, I thought it was actually a joke by the arena DJ, but apparently it wasn't at all. Apparently he picked it.
He's got a good sense of humor, yeah, in the very least.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible. But, I think they're looking, I mean, it's cliche, but they're obviously trying to get faster. They're trying to get younger. They're trying to get guys who are comfortable with moving more so to the center of the ice, their opportunity, not just sort of create them from the board. Even though it seems like St. Louis had tons of success doing that in the playoffs, so it's almost like the paradigm shifts every year. I think they've had a pretty good run here so far, at least in the first two rounds of this draft. And time will always tell. You just really do never know how these prospects will work out. I mean, if you thought they hit a home run with Gabe Vilardi a couple of years ago, and now it's basically an injury risk, and who knows if they'll ever play. So, so far, I think it's been good, but again, I think it's time will tell if it will end up being one of those defining drafts for them. It doesn't seem like this crop of players is that group of players like throughout the draft, except the top two picks, but who knows? You never know how it'll happen.
You know, Josh, we talk about the Kings. Alex Turcotte, you know, goes fifth overall, and we talked about Tobias Bjornfoot, who goes a little bit later in the first round. The other team that you cover there in California, the Anaheim Ducks, they get Trevor Zegras ninth overall, and then later, I believe it was 29th overall, they got Braden Tracy of the Moose Jaw Warriors, who had a really good offensive season there in the Western Hockey League. But, you know, Trevor Zegras is the big guy. Obviously, Turcotte and Jack Hughes were the top two centers expected to go, but were you surprised that the Oilers took Philip Broberg and instead of taking Zegras?
Maybe. I mean, you don't know how a team sort of scouts and looks at these things. I mean, Ken Holland's obviously had a lot of success. He knows more about what his team needs than I do. I think the Ducks are pretty happy with how the draft broke down with them, falling to them. I think that type of dynamic playmaker that they're going to need when Ryan Getzlaf does retire, because I still think Getzlaf still has a bit to give. So, I kind of look at them, and I think they've made some good moves so far. I think they're a team that scouts really well, so you have to believe in kind of how they've approached the draft in the past and probably what they've picked in this draft. So overall, I'd have to say that I'm sure that Zegras is an elite-type player who could be an elite center for them, so I'm sure they're pretty happy about that. And, again, they're just always finding those later rounds too, so don't sleep on the later round picks for the Ducks. They're always a good team at finding those gems.
So Josh, just sticking with the Ducks here, it's obviously been a few days, I think it's been 4 days since Corey Perry was bought out by the Anaheim Ducks, and no, obviously I'm not going to ask you if you're surprised if Corey Perry was bought out, because I think the writing was on the wall there. But when you're looking at this, and you know Corey Perry's a UFA now, how many teams do you think are going to be in the market for a guy like Perry? Obviously, you can get him a lot cheaper now, but you hear a team like Chicago or maybe Colorado would be interested in Perry. Do you think that there are going to be more than a few teams that maybe look at bringing him in?
Yeah, I'm not even surprised at the interest. level in him, because he hasn't been anywhere near the player he was the last few years. So maybe for like $2 million, he's willing to go that low. But I mean, the hands don't go, and I mean, Patrick Maroon showed you can be a big body and play around the net and have a lot of success. Teams don't know how to defend you because they're all getting smaller and faster. But I just don't see it. But apparently, some teams that are, you know, have GMs who are really, really smart, believe there's a lot left and have good scouts, so maybe they're seeing things that I'm not seeing, but I don't personally think that, I mean, I wouldn't go after him, in my opinion, but again, like, I'm not an NHL scout, I'm not someone who's paid to build a team, but that's just how I see it. But I mean, scouts and people I've talked to still seem to think that there's something left in the tank there, that he has a lot to prove. Being a guy who, you know, was just bought out by his longtime team. So that's the way I guess a lot of people are looking at it around the league. But personally, like, I don't see it. Like, I really, really don't. That's not a knock on him or his career or what he's accomplished. It's just a matter of his size, his injury level, or the level of his injuries, and just his skating ability. It's just not there anymore to keep up with him.
Josh Cooper is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Josh is in Vancouver at the 2019 NHL Draft. The Jets are about 10 or so picks, maybe a little less than that, away from their selection in the fifth round. Josh, the Anaheim Ducks, it was almost a worst-kept secret, but it took a long time for it to come to fruition. That is, announcing Dallas Eakins as their new head coach. Your thoughts on the hire of Dallas Eakins, and sort of a secondary thought on why it took so long to make the announcement?
Well, I think they were just trying to do their due diligence. They're not a franchise. They're a franchise that really just walks to the beat of its own drum. They're not a team that really adhere to any sort of external pressure whatsoever. I think they were really thorough in the interview process. They were waiting for Stanley Cup playoff teams to fall off. They were waiting for AHL playoff teams to fall off. And I think that's why it took so long. I think those are the reasons that it dragged on as long as it did. And once it did, they had to do their due diligence. So, but overall, I mean, getting a guy who favors an up-tempo system, younger, more energetic, jovial, nicer to media people. Not that that matters at all in a lot of markets.
Matters to us.
Won't call a certain media member a jerk for asking a question that needed to be asked. I could be more thrilled to be working around him, because I know that we're going to get the unfiltered truth from him and not kind of a surly gruffness we were getting from a coach who shall remain nameless.
Josh, last question for you here. We know you have to get back to your duties there. The Ducks have a pick, just a couple picks before the Jets here in the fifth round. Ryan Miller, you had a really good article in The Athletic earlier this season about Ryan Miller and, you know, whether or not he was going to come back with the Anaheim Ducks. And we know that, you know, Miller signed a one-year deal with the Ducks, so he's presumably going to get to end his career in Anaheim. How nice is that for a guy that's he's one of the best American goalies of all time?
You know, he seems to really believe in this franchise and the growth is going. So, and he gets close to his family, and why does he get to continue on in her career and what she's been doing? So overall, it's a win situation all the way around. And I know I personally like talking to him an awful lot about a whole host of different topics. Like, when I pull him aside in the locker room, I think the last thing we ever talk about is hockey. So, he's just a fantastic person, a great person.
I think we may have just lost Josh. Nope.
My microphone.
Hey, can you hear me? I said he's a fantastic person and a good person in the community, though.
Yeah, Drew actually just pulled out his headphones, so we can't hear you.
We can hear you fine, Josh. It was just Drew.
Okay. All right.
There you go. I'm back. Yeah, keep going. Finish your Ryan Miller thought, buddy.
Yeah, Josh, do you want to talk about The Bachelorette, maybe? Or
I have not watched it because it's just been terrible. So I decided to boycott this season because I disagree with their choice of Bachelorette.
Yeah, it hasn't been very good.
Wow,
when
the franchise is in trouble, and that the franchise of the Bachelorette when Josh Cooper abandons it.
Fan, I know.
Yeah.
Well, the Bachelor was so good with Colton, right?
Everyone really enjoyed it because she's been such a train wreck. Like, on the show, personally for me, like I just it's been a terrible season.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Hannah.
I think they could have done better, but that's just, you know, by Baskin Robbins is 31 flavors. I mean, you know, a lot of people think she's done a great job as a bachelorette. I have decided not to watch.
The Anaheim Ducks are on the clock, Josh. That's the team you cover for TheAthletic.com along with the LA Kings. We'll let you go. Thanks very much, Josh. It's always good to hear from you, buddy.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Take care. Josh Cooper of TheAthletic.com joining us from Vancouver. The Ducks are on the clock. The Jets are three picks away with their second selection here in the fifth round. And second, and I guess, or pardon me, their first selection in the fifth round.
This is the Philly. This is the Philly pick.
This is the pick from Philly for Kevin Hayes.
The Kevin Hayes pick, boys.
Well, and then that Kevin Hayes pick obviously worked out for the Flyers in that they signed him to a massive contract extension.
5-0.
7 years, $50 million for Kevin Hayes. I mean,
at any point, and I have to give a shout out to Tim Hebert, who tweeted this out. At any point when Kevin Hayes was a member of the Jets, were you thinking, like, I want to give this guy $7 million a year to be my second line center?
No.
No, but I mean, even, never mind the Jets time. Like, look at this time with New York. Because, I mean, the Jets time was such a small window. At any point when you watched him with the New York Rangers, did you think he was a $7 million a year player?
No.
And I know that he's an analytics darling, and I get that, and they love it, and his analytical numbers are quite popular. And, you know, all due respect, that's fine. That's the, numbers are numbers, and I'll listen to that argument.
I don't know if they're $7 million a year numbers.
Well,
though,
that to me is excessive. I mean, I don't know anybody else. I mean, who are the Flyers bidding against? I mean, if he hits the July 1, is he getting $7 million
apparently,
from another team?
Apparently Arizona.
Arizona was going to go that high?
Well, they said that I think it was Arizona and Columbus were the two places that were rumored if he hit free agency.
Well, the Jets are on the clock right now, so we're going to bring you the Jets pick coming up here momentarily as soon as it's made. Dave, yeah?
Well, a little history. So with the fifth round, who have the Jets taken in the fifth round? They've got CJ
Connor Hellebuyck.
Connor Hellebuyck, Tucker Pullman, CJ Cease. Three straight years, three guys who are obviously with Hellebuyck specifically, and Tucker Pullman hopefully a lot this year with the Jets.
All-American.
And, oh, that's a good point.
Yep.
And CJ Cease also.
So they're going with a Canadian here. Put it on the board. Ezra Ginsberg
for both picks and for the
when one did time? I start talking in the third person, by the way?
Just now.
I mean, you've gone a little bit.
I've never done that. In the 10.5 years of this show, I've never done that. I'm going to predict, bold prediction. Remember, last pick
late.
I said.
That's too late.
I said
they already made the pick.
And he's Canadian.
And he's Canadian.
I told you.
The Winnipeg Jets have selected with pick number 134, Harrison Blaisdell, a 5'11", 186-pound centerman.
Just from, Blaze.
From Chilliwack of the BCHL. So, you know, a sub 6 foot forward after they went with a 6 foot four forward in the fourth round. Harrison Blaisdell is the Jets selection in the fifth round pick.
First of all, that's a great name.
It is a good hockey name, that's for sure. I like the name of Harrison Blaisdell. You really can't go wrong with that one. What were you saying, Dave?
I'm saying, and it's an easier one to pronounce. You don't have to worry about it.
That's true.
And his father, Mike, was a first-round pick in 1980.
According to HockeyProspect.com, this is a guy they had actually ranked quite high. They had him ranked at 61st in terms of his play. So they had him ranked higher than the Jets would have been expected to get him at later on in the draft.
Yeah, and Harrison Blaisdell, you mentioned Hockey Prospect, Drew, that you've been following throughout the draft. 77th overall by our good friend Ryan Kennedy of the Hockey News. 82nd, Dauber Prospects. Obviously, Cam Robinson, part of Dauber Prospects. So it looks like, you know, again, another player that fell to the Jets in the fifth round.
Yeah, although this is from the HockeyProspect.com write-up. Although
he's from Regina, by the way, so a good Saskatchewan boy.
There you go. Although Blaisdell plays a plus 200-foot game and was used at center this past season, we view him as a winger. His most translatable skill is his shot, but he needs to further refine his skating in order to put himself in positions where he can use it effectively. If he develops properly, we see Blaisdell as a potential top-nine scoring forward who can get some power play time. According to HockeyProspect.com scout Brad Allen, quote, he has one of the best releases in this 2019 draft class.
Another thing, and you know, Winnipeg Jets fans are going to love this, at least ones that live in and around Manitoba, he's committed to UND.
There you go.
So that's a guy that you're going to be able to go see next year play for UND. So, you know, obviously only a couple hours south of us here. But obviously a guy that, you know, has some good you know, bloodlines. His dad played in the NHL. You know, not the biggest guy at 5'11", 180 pounds, but a guy that put up really good numbers in the BCHL.
Exactly right. Harrison Blaisdell, the Winnipeg Jets selection in the fifth round of the NHL draft. He plays for Chilliwack in the BCHL, and as Ezra mentioned, he is committed to the University of North Dakota. You know, another skilled centerman, maybe a winger. Time will tell, obviously, as he develops here. That is the Winnipeg Jets' first of two fifth-round picks in this draft, still to come in about another nine or so picks. In about nine or so picks, the Jets are going to select again. I think we're pretty close to getting Harrison on the line with us, so we'll do that coming up momentarily. He joins previous Jets selections on this Saturday. Henry Nikkanen was selected by the Jets in the fourth round at number 113. And then the Jets' second selection, Simon Lundmark, number 51, the second round pick out of Sweden. So the Jets, for the first time in this draft, have gone with a Canadian player, Harrison Blaisdell, number 134 in the fifth round. Harrison, good afternoon. Congratulations. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show and TSN Radio 1290.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Well, we are happy to have you, Harrison. I guess the first question, what was it like to hear your name called just minutes ago at the NHL draft in Vancouver? You know, walk us through the excitement of the moment.
It was unbelievable. I was just, you know, I was thinking like it was getting pretty close to my time, so I was just really excited. I knew obviously Winnipeg would be a great opportunity for me. It's close to home and stuff, so as soon as I heard my name, I was just ecstatic.
Harrison, you played this past season in the BCHL for Chilliwack. You're committed to play for the University of North Dakota and Brad Berry there. Why did you decide to play for University of North Dakota? Obviously, you know, a storied program.
Yeah, I think for me, a part of it was just, you know, I went down there a few years ago, and obviously the facility is just unbelievable, and, you know, Dane and Barry treated me really well. And then obviously just, I think for me, it's a great opportunity to have a little more development time and kind of get ready and make an easier step to the pro hockey.
Well, Harrison, why don't you tell our listeners what kind of player you are and what player have you modeled your game after?
I think for me, like a player I kind of model myself after is a Brad Marchand kind of player. You know, I bring a lot of kind of grit to the game, but also a skill set to go along with it, and I think that opens things up for me.
Hopefully fewer licking incidents than Brad, than Brad
yeah,
is known for.
Minus that kind of stuff.
Harrison Blaisdell is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the Jets' fifth-round selection, number 134, committed to the University of North Dakota. You know, Harrison, did you expect that the Jets might be one of those teams that would call your name, or did you really have any idea whatsoever coming into day two of the draft?
No, I mean, I definitely knew that the Jets were kind of on the radar, but yeah, I mean, you never really know until your name's finally called, and it's always going to be a little bit surprising and just really exciting.
Harrison, nobody gets to this point in their career without family support, without friend support. You know, who in your life is, you know, most responsible for shaping you as the hockey player you are today?
Yeah, my mom and dad, they're unbelievable, and also my older sisters, and then my grandparents and whatnot. You know, the same kind of thing for every kid. You know, you don't really get here without a really good support group around you, so I'm just incredibly thankful for them, and I'm just really excited here.
So Harrison, what's next for you? I imagine you're gonna, you know, celebrate and party it up big time in Vancouver tonight, but you've got Jets development camp next week, so are you just gonna take your hockey bag and come right to Winnipeg here?
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of friends around Vancouver and stuff, so I'll have some fun here, enjoy my time, and then obviously Winnipeg's not too far from home, so we'll see where I go from there.
Harrison, I believe I read that your father was a first-round draft pick of the Detroit Red Wings, 11th overall in 1980. So what is that like having him as a role model and someone you can rely upon?
It was really nice for this whole kind of process. Obviously, you know, he's been through it similarly. It's a little different for him. There wasn't as much attention with it back then. But obviously, you know, to have the kind of person that is experienced with it and stuff, it's just made it really smooth and really easy for me.
Harrison, do you think of yourself more as a winger or a centerman? I know that you played center this past year in the BCHL. Do you think your trajectory is more of a center or on the wing?
I'm super comfortable in both. You know, wherever I really fit in, I think I can do a good job in both spots. So,
you're originally from Regina, if I'm not mistaken. What was it like making the transition from, you know, playing in Saskatchewan, growing up in Saskatchewan, and then playing your junior career in the BCHL?
I mean, maybe a little different. You know, the Saskatchewan Midget League and stuff is pretty tough leagues, whereas BC is a little different, but you know, I've spent a lot of time out there. I'm really comfortable out here, and it was a lot of fun. But it's nice to, you know, be in Winnipeg. It's a kind of familiar spot being on the prairies, so I'm excited about it.
Harrison, the scouting report on you says that you're a really competitive guy and you've got a great shot. Is that something that you really take pride in?
Yeah, absolutely. Those are two kind of attributes that I think have gotten me quite a long way, obviously, to this point. You know, my competitiveness, I'm a super competitive guy. I hate to lose, so kind of just excited to bring that to Winnipeg.
Well, Harrison, do you have any familiarity with guys in the organization? Obviously, there's J.C. LaPon, who's a Regina kid, and you've got Nelson Noje, who's from Saskatoon. So do you have any familiarity, or do you know any of the other players here in the organization?
Yeah, J.C., I've skated with him pretty much every summer for the last few years. He does a lot of work with my dad and stuff, and so I know him pretty well. He's a good guy and obviously a good player for the Moose for the last few years. And then Austin Wong, that he's in Harvard right now, got drafted last year. I'm pretty familiar with him, too. So, yeah.
Harrison Blaisdell, the Winnipeg Jets, fifth-round pick at number 134. Congratulations, and thanks so much for joining us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Let's head to break. That was Harrison Blaisdell. The Jets have another fifth-round selection coming up on the other side of the commercials. We'll bring that to you live. That right now will be their last pick here in the 2019 draft, but of course, trades can happen. We're with you till the end. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Hour number three, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Second day coverage of the 2019 NHL Draft. Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg, Dave Minuk with you in studio. This segment of the program brought to you by our friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For over 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. In case you missed it, tickets have been sold out to see Preacher Lawson this weekend at Rumors. They added a show. It's going to start in 30 minutes time, 3:30 this afternoon. A special show to see concert series event with Preacher Lawson of America's Got Talent. Tickets available rumorscomedyclub.com or at the door at Rumors Comedy Club. Get them right now while they still last, because all the other shows have been sold out. Winnipeg Jets have two fifth-round selections. They've made their first, that being Harrison Blaisdell. He joined us moments ago. The Jets are actually one pick away. The Detroit Red Wings are on the clock, and then the Jets with pick number 144 that will be their final pick of the draft unless they make some trades and get back into the later on in the fifth, sixth, or seventh round.
Yeah, and Harrison Blaisdell, just a great interview with him. We just had him on last segment, you know, goes in the fifth round, and we're going to find out the next Jets fifth round pick here. But, you know, just reading about him, Brad Schlossman, our very good friend, writes for the Grand Forks Herald,
yeah,
you know, quotes Brad Berry, and he actually compares him to Drake Caggiula. And if you remember, you know, Caggiula, of course, played for the Oilers and then was traded to the Chicago Blackhawks. But Caggiula had an excellent career with UND, and he compares him, talks about how good his motor is. And, you know, we should also mention, you know, 33 goals, 58 points in the BCHL. That was in 51 games. Mm-hmm. He also led Canada West, Drew, in both goals and points at the World Junior A Challenge. And that's a tournament that, you know, scouts like to really use as kind of watching players play against other really good players, right? So mm-hmm. when you're talking about Blaisdell, you read all of, and we talked about, you know, where he was ranked. You know, many scouts had him going in the third round or the fourth round, so the Jets get him in the fifth round. We talked about, you know, Tucker Poolman, obviously the UND connection there. We talked about Connor Hellebuck. The Jets have really hit on some picks in the fifth round. Mason Appleton was in the sixth round. I mean, Sammy Niku in the seventh round. So Harrison Blaisdell is definitely a guy that we're going to be keeping our eye on, and he's going to be pretty close down there playing in Grand Forks for UND.
Yeah, so it'll be, obviously we'll be able to watch his career not that far from here in Winnipeg. Harrison Blaisdell, the Jets' first fifth round selection. They have another one coming up momentarily.
Mason Primo just went 141th.
Well, 41st.
Sorry,
41st. Yeah, it's been a long afternoon.
It's been a long afternoon. It's not fourth, it's first. It's fourth. I can't even talk.
Go on with
it. Is that Keith Primo's kid?
I'll have to look it up. I don't know. Thanks for putting me on the spot. We'll let producer Chris Curry look
Didn't. Well, I mean, Caden Primo was drafted by the Canadians.
Mm-hmm.
Goaltender.
Yeah. Well, you can only have 2 feet, so it can't be one of Adam Foote's.
Good chance that's Keith Primo's other kid.
That was clever, David. How long have you been waiting to use that for?
No, just came up with it.
Well, the Jets are on the clock right now with their second fifth. It's Wayne Primo's son? Wayne Primo's son, according to
Chris,
producer Chris Curry.
Doing the research.
Well, that's Keith Primo's brother.
Yes, I know. So
remember when they fought?
I do remember. That was one of the all-time fights. A
couple of big boys there.
I don't think Mrs. Primo was too happy
with
their brothers.
I was watching the parents. I remember I was in Detroit watching. It was a Ryan Miller versus Drew Miller game. And she was wearing one of the split Sabres Red Wings jerseys. So the parents usually they don't pick favorites.
Yeah, the divided loyalties is the case. The Jets are on their clock with their second fifth-round selection. As we said, they had they selected Harrison Blaisdell at number 134. That was with their first fifth-round selection. Prior to that, they went with Henri Nikkanen at number 113. He is from Finland. And in the second round, they selected Simon Lundmark at number 51, a defenseman to join the Winnipeg Jets organization. The Jets at number 144, their second fifth-round selection, have selected goaltender Logan Neaton of Prince George in the BCHL. So a goaltender, Logan Neaton, going to the Jets. 6'1", according to his numbers, so decent height, only 154 pounds. So he's obviously got some filling out to do.
I don't think I've been 154 pounds since I was about 14 years old.
Pretty sure you had 154 pounds worth of a hamburger the other night or something. But Logan Neaton, the Jets goaltender, that's the final pick for the Jets, unless they trade back into doing something later on in these rounds. Logan Neaton to the Winnipeg Jets. He comes from the BCHL as well, as did Harrison Blaisdell.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously I can't tell you much about Logan Neaton right now, but, you know, 6'2", pretty good size, and he's committed to UMass Lowell, and we know who played for UMass Lowell and had a pretty good NHL career. His name's Connor Hellebuck.
So. Yeah, so there's some bloodlines there. He's a college commit, so we'll see what we can find out about the Jets' latest selection in the fifth round. Logan Neaton, if he's at the draft, if we're able to get him on the phone, we will do so. Of course, we will find that out and let you know in the next little bit.
Yeah, Neaton played 47 games for Prince George, 1.92 goals against average, .914 save percentage. So obviously back-to-back BCHL picks. And it's kind of interesting here, Drew, because, you know, the Jets, if you look at their draft history, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously they've taken, you know, a bunch of players from the Ontario Hockey League and Western Hockey League, and recently a lot of players from Finland, but the BCHL isn't, and we should mention the USHL, obviously, you know, Roslovic Connor in 2015, and we know how many other players, Truba, Connor, but the BCHL hasn't been as big a source of players for the Jets, so they go back-to-back here with picks from the BCHL, a league that has produced a lot of good players. Alex Newhook, first-round pick, so, you know, interesting there. The BCHL, not necessarily, you know, a well that the Jets have tapped a lot.
Yeah, the Prince.
Do you tap a well?
Yes, do tap a well. Yes.
Okay.
He was the goaltender for the league-winning Prince George team last year. The Logan Neaton was. So obviously the Jets, you know, he had some success, certainly. We'll see what, if that's able to translate. We'll see if we can get him on the line in the next little while. So that's it for the Jets picks at the moment. Of course, they can always trade back in to the later rounds here. I would be surprised if they made a trade at this point in time. There would have to be a player that the scouting staff absolutely loves. And at this point, you're probably talking about trading a sixth or a seventh round pick next year to get back into the draft this year. So obviously this is where the scouts begin to make their heyday if they're able to make any acquisitions at this point in time. We will see. We will also hear from Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff at some point, still to come on this afternoon's broadcast. But the Jets, let's recap what they've done on day two of the NHL draft. Their most recent selection in the fifth round, number 144, goaltender Logan Neaton of Prince George in the BCHL. 10 picks earlier, also from the BCHL, Chilliwack. They took Harrison Blaisdell. He is committed to go to the University of North Dakota. They did not have a third-round selection, so they had a fourth-round pick. And in the fourth round, the Jets went back to Scandinavia. They took from Finland Henri Nikkanen, a large centerman, 6'4", 200 pounds, had an injury-riddled season that a lot of scouts attribute to why he dropped in the draft. He was highly rated before that, or rated higher at least, than when he went at number 113. And the Jets' first pick, which was about, 2.5 hours ago as we look at the clock right now. That happened in the second round. For a second consecutive year, the Winnipeg Jets took a Swedish player in the second round. That's Simon Lundmark, a Swedish defenseman. He plays the right side. He split time between the junior program and in the Swedish Elite League. Good height, 6'2", 200 pounds. Good skater, you know, good first pass. He joined us on the program a few hours ago. That audio is available now, of course, on illegalcurve.com. So that's what the Jets have done so far. Last night, Ville Heinola was selected 20th overall. That was their Jets' first-round pick. A left-shot defenseman who can play both sides. Sounds very similar to Josh Morrissey in terms of his play. Good first pass, good skating, smart player. That's what everyone said about him the most, is how smart of a hockey player with very good hockey sense that he is.
Yeah, and you know, for those who haven't seen him play, and we clearly have not seen him play, but if you want to, you know, check out some clips on YouTube, this is a guy who was really good for Finland at the World Junior Hockey Championship. So this is a guy that, you know, the Jets have very high hopes for. We talked about Heinola was supposed to go somewhere, you know, between 16th to 24th. So obviously he went exactly where he was supposed to go. And I should give a plug to my article on illegalcurve.com where I had him as one of the seven possible guys that the Jets should take. So unlike a guy like Arthur Kaliev, who fell to the LA Kings in the second round, Ville Heinola, I think the Jets were very happy to get him 20th overall. And, you know, when you talk about some of that Finnish talent the Jets have with Laine and Sami Niku and Christian Vesalainen and Santeri Virtanen, I mean, the Jets really are turning, Winnipeg is really turning into Finnipeg here. And, you know, a guy like Ville Heinola, you know, if the scouting reports are right, and, you know, some scouts are higher on him, but, you know, a lot of scouts think he can be a top four, top two defenseman.
Exactly right. So, I mean, it'll all depend on, I mean, they say that the thing he has to work on the most is his skating.
Yep.
And the beauty about skating is that generally is something
that
you can teach that, yeah. And you can, I mean, that's why we see all these skating coaches. It's something that you can improve upon. So we'll see the, you know, with the, all these prospects, they're, it's a crapshoot. I mean, you never know how a player is going to develop. You never know exactly what's going to impact him, pro or con. And the Jets and their draft scouts obviously have to do, or have done their work to see that these are the guys they think are going to develop into players.
Right. And when you talk about Ville Heinola, he's a safe pick, right? Like, he's not a guy that you're saying, whoa, the
not way off the board.
Yeah, it's not an off the board pick. Like, a lot of Canucks fans are looking at Vasily Podkolzin and they're saying, I don't know about him. Not just that, you know, he's got 2 years on his contract in the KHL, but, you know, you hear that, you know, he has to work on his defensive game. When you're talking about Ville Heinola and the Jets' record of drafting these types of players, right? I mean, you mentioned Josh Morrissey. I mean, you can make a lot of comparisons to Josh Morrissey. We're not saying that, you know, he's for sure going to be a top-pairing guy, but that was the scouting report on Morrissey. Just a very smart defenseman. Really good skater vision.
Won Academic of the Year in the Western Hockey League, what, back-to-back seasons when he was playing there?
Right, and you watch Ville Heinola, and he really is that cliche three-zone player. And I mentioned this earlier in the show, guys, when we were talking about Heinola, but this was a top-pairing defenseman for Finland. During the 2019 World Junior Tournament, the team that a stacked Finland team that won gold, and we know how good, you know, Finland has been lately at the World Championships and, you know, the World Junior Championships. So Ville Heinola, this is a guy who, make no mistake, I mean, this is a bona fide top 20 pick, and we talked about, you know, some of the scouts thought he might go 15th overall to the Montreal Canadiens, right? Because they're in desperate need of more puck moving defensemen. So again, we don't know exactly what he's going to turn out to be, but, you know, Heinola is a guy that his future looks really bright.
Logan Neaton, who was the Jets' final draft pick so far, at least tonight, we'll see if they trade back in, as I mentioned, is not at the draft. He played for the Prince George Spruce Kings of the BCHL. We're trying to see if we can get him on the phone to be able to join us. We will, obviously, if we're able to do that, we'll bring him to you here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Day two coverage of the NHL draft continues. It'll be interesting now to see what happens with the Winnipeg Jets as we're into the fifth round. The next couple rounds should hopefully go at a decent clip, but the Jets obviously done right now, barring any trades, to get back into the NHL, into the latter rounds of the NHL draft.
You know, Drew, David Marcoux, who we've had on the show before, former Calgary Flames goalie coach, former Carolina Hurricanes goalie coach,
yeah.
I tweeted out that the Jets took Logan Neaton and he liked my tweet, so maybe I'll send him a message on Twitter and ask him for a little scouting report, but he clearly likes that Jets pick.
Well, there you are, or he likes you in your tweets. It's either one or the other. We're not sure which, but obviously time will tell. Logan Neaton, the Jets' final pick so far today, and shortly before him, as you heard on the program, Harrison Blaisdell, also from the BCHL, selected by the Winnipeg Jets. I'll tell you what, let's head to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Jesse Puljujarvi demanding a trade out of Edmonton. How do the Oilers handle that? We'll see if we can bring any of these draft picks on air with us. Jets general manager Kevin Schevel, day off still to come. Lots to come. It's Saturday afternoon. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Day two coverage of the 2019 NHL Draft. The Winnipeg Jets have used their four day two picks so far. Don't have any more, barring a trade to get back into the draft. Let's recap what the Jets have done so far. They started off the afternoon by selecting Simon Lundmark at number 51 overall. Lundmark, a defenseman from Sweden, a right-side defenseman playing out of Sweden. The Jets selected him at number 51 overall. Did not have a third round pick. The Jets came back in the fourth round and selected a big centerman who had an injury riddled year, which probably explains why he dropped a little bit based on where his pre-draft rankings may have been. Henry Nikkanen was selected by the Winnipeg Jets at number 113 overall. So the Jets going to Scandinavia for their first three picks of the 2019 draft, including Heinola, number 20 overall from Finland last night in the first round.
We should clarify, the Jets actually didn't go to Scandinavia. They were in Vancouver making the picks.
It's true.
These players were born in Scandinavia.
And played in Scandinavia.
That's a good qualification.
Thank you for clarifying that for the audience.
That comment brought to you by smart-ass Ginsburg.
Yes, exactly. The Jets then in the fifth round had two selections. Number 134, Harrison Blaisdell from the BCHL.
Great chat with him, by the way.
Yeah, really good chat with him. That's going to be available on... It is available right now on illegalcurve.com in case you missed that. Harrison Blaisdell played junior hockey in the BCHL. Funny guy, he compared himself to Brad Marchand, minus the licking, which is a good caveat to have in place.
And he'll play for UND next year.
He's going to play for the University of North Dakota, so just down the road from us here in Winnipeg. Originally from Regina, went to play junior hockey out in BC, now going to play for the University of North Dakota. 10 picks later, the Jets selected goaltender, also from the BCHL, Logan Neaton. Logan was the best goaltender in the BCHL this year. He led the Prince George team to
Spruce Kings.
The Prince George Spruce Kings to a BCHL title.
Yep.
He is originally from Michigan and is going to be going to the University of Massachusetts Lowell, also like a current Winnipeg Jets goaltender, Connor Hellebuck, from Michigan, who went to UMass Lowell.
Yeah, and I sent David Marcoux a message on Twitter, and, you know, obviously...
Tell the audience who David Marcoux is.
Oh, yeah, David Marcoux we've had on the show a couple of times before, former goalie coach of the Calgary Flames and Carolina Hurricanes. He's a well-known guy in the goaltending world, currently runs the David Marcoux goaltending school, and he sent me a message and said that even though he's never worked with Logan Neaton, he thought he was the best young goalie in the BCHL, and he said that he's got really good size and a calm demeanor. So just a little bit more info on Logan Neaton, who the Jets took in the fifth round.
Yeah, there you have it. So Logan Neaton, so far the Jets' final pick of the 2019 draft, barring a trade to get back into it. They are now into the sixth round of the draft. The Buffalo Sabres just took The New York Rangers just took Adam Edstrom. So a few more picks to come, sixth round and seventh round still to come. And then, of course, we'll bring you Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff before we wrap up the afternoon here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show and TSN 1290's day two coverage of the NHL draft.
You know, we should mention the Devils, who obviously got Jack Hughes first overall. Patrick Moynihan just went in the sixth round about four picks ago, 158th overall. I believe he's a guy that also played for the U.S. National Team Development Program. And we know, guys, that eight players went in the first round from the U.S. National Team Development Program, yeah. Right? We talked to head coach John Robleski. That was about 3 weeks ago, I believe. So Patrick Moynihan is a guy that, you know, scouts were talking about maybe going in the fourth or fifth round. So, you know, the Devils just continue to get these gems in late rounds.
That's exactly right there, Ezra. So obviously the 2019 NHL draft continues. You're listening to live coverage here on TSN 1290. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuke, Ezra Ginsberg with you in studio. Now that the Jets are done, at least right now, let's talk about some other news and events happening in and around the NHL. Reports out of Edmonton, Jesse Puljujarvi, who was a former top pick by the Oilers, I believe it was third overall, if I'm not mistaken, a number of years ago. He's a restricted free agent, and he has requested, nay, demanded a trade out of Edmonton, another misused asset by the Edmonton Oilers. How do you see this situation resolving? Puljujarvi, obviously, they're going to have to sell low on him because he hasn't really done anything the way he's been handled by the Oilers, or mishandled, as the case may be.
Yeah, and I obviously don't know where Jesse Puljujarvi is going to be traded. Obviously, he wants to be traded, guys, but can you imagine if you're Ken Holland? You're a new GM. You were just hired, what, 3 weeks ago, a month ago? And now you know that you most likely have to trade Jesse Puljujarvi, right? A former fourth overall pick? Like, it's not a great position to be in if you're Ken Holland, right? Because I think we would all agree, Drew, to answer your question, that it's way too early to trade Puljujarvi. Like, you mentioned the way they have developed him. Like, they put him in the spotlight way too early. Mm-hmm. Like, Puljujarvi was a guy that you should have kind of eased in, and he probably should have played more in the American Hockey League.
There's no question.
And they put him in a position where he played the majority of the season on the second line with Milan Lucic on the other wing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's unbelievable how badly they misused Puljujarvi, and now they're in this situation where he's not happy, he's not producing, he's kind of stalled, right? And he's only 21 years old. He's the same age as Patrick Laine. And it's just unbelievable that we're talking about this, but based on the fact that you hear Puljujarvi and his agent aren't happy, they want to trade. So what does Ken Holland do? What can you... Like, I honestly don't know the answer to this. I mean, I can kind of, you know... Off the top of my head, I can maybe think about what you get back for Jesse Puljujarvi, but I don't think you're going to get a top six forward. You're certainly not going to get, you know, a top four defenseman. Like, are you trading him for a second round or third round draft pick? Like, it's really tough. It's tough to know what the market is on Jesse Puljujarvi because you're trading him low right now. You're selling low is what I meant to say.
Right, you certainly are. But the biggest problem for the Oilers is Puljujarvi made it clear. Look, I'm not willing to play it out with you. I'm a restricted free agent. If you don't trade me, I'll play in Europe. He's not under contract. He can play in Europe. He's got all the leverage in this situation. Ken Holland, I mean, it seems like you're going to lose the asset regardless. You're either going to lose him, via a trade where you at least get something back, or you're going to lose him because he's just going to play in Europe.
You know, the thing that's a little bit puzzling to me, though, is Dave Tippett is the new coach in Edmonton, right? You wonder why Jesse Puljujarvi doesn't look at this like a clean slate. Like, if I'm Jesse Puljujarvi, you have a new GM. I mean, the Peter Chiarelli regime, I mean, that's over. Obviously, Keith Gretzky is still the assistant GM, but new GM, new head coach. I just wonder why Jesse Puljujarvi doesn't look at it like a fresh start. That's all I'm saying, because it's not like, Ken Hitchcock was obviously just there to stop the bleeding, mm-hmm. right? And Puljujarvi was misused by the Oilers. And you just wonder why Puljujarvi is so desperate to be traded, knowing that, the Oilers, they can't be any worse than they were last year.
Right? It's true.
So, I mean, I think Ken Holland is in a really tough spot here.
Yeah, you would think the gong show days of the Oilers are at least a little bit over right now with Ken Holland and, whatever you want to think about Holland. He's certainly professional and respected as a general manager, and should hopefully go a long way to cleaning up some of the absolute disaster that have been the Oilers for the last decade or so.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, to Ezzy's point, I agree. I think I'd be inclined to think, here's an opportunity. They've got a decent core. There's, you got a chance to play with Connor McDavid. But, it is what it is, and these guys, it's just interesting the mentality now. Guys just, as we switch to a younger league, guys just have greater and greater expectations, and they just want more, and they're less willing to wait their turn. That, to me, is kind of the calling card. And again, I mean, being in the AHL, sure, you're not making the money you're making in the NHL, and I get that. But at the same time, you have to earn your stripes. And I think if you're having success in the AHL, to me, I would have done that. I would have gone with a clean slate. I would have said, I'm going to force these guys to keep me in the NHL. And if I've done what I can do in the NHL or at the AHL, and they're still not willing to give me that opportunity, well, then that's fine. But, I mean, I think that too often these guys think that they know what's best for their development. And it's not. You have to think, like, from an organizational perspective, they have to think what's best for the organization. They obviously want you to develop properly because then they're developing their asset properly. But at the end of the day, the organization has to do what's in the best interest of the organization.
But you know what I mean, though, Dave? Like, if you're Ken Holland, are you trying to get a forward back? Are you trying to get a defenseman? Because we know that the Oilers, obviously, their strength is not on defense. Their strength isn't in goal either, right? And so... That's what I'm saying. Like, who are you trading? I don't even know where to begin, because if you're talking about trading him for a forward, like who out there? It's tough to kind of figure out a one for one trade for Jesse Puljujärvi.
Honestly, if you're Ken Holland and you're not going to get value, you're not going to get any, well, I'm not even going to say tremendous value. You're not going to get good value in return for Puljujärvi right now. So if I'm Holland, I'd say, you know what? Go play in Europe. Go, you know, we still own your rights. We still retain your rights. Go play in Europe. Maybe you get that confidence back, you know, after a year or after 2 years, and then you want to come back to North America, and you've got a better pedigree, and you can either come back with the Oilers, and we'll pay you whatever we pay you, or we'll trade you at that point in time because you have gone and you've torn up the KHL, or you've gone and you've torn up the the Finnish Elite League or the Swedish Elite League or whatever league you're playing in. At this point in time, I'd rather just hold on to the contractual rights to the player than trade him for 10 cents.
Well, and also, his value might be higher if he tears it up overseas.
That's what I'm saying.
Right?
Two years from now, if he tears it up, if he goes overseas and plays unbelievably well for 2 years and then decides 2 years down the road he wants to come back to the NHL, well, one, you can trade him and probably get more of a return, or maybe time has healed all wounds. You welcome him back to your team. You know, maybe the Oilers have finally turned the corner. I don't know that trading Puljujärvi right now makes any sense. I think I'd rather just stash him overseas and hold on to his rights.
Yeah, I think you make a good point. By the way, the Philadelphia Flyers just took Roddy Ross. Unbelievable name. Just want to get that in there.
Thank you.
But when you're talking about, Puljujärvi.
Yeah.
That's why, like, in the 2016 draft, you had Austin Matthews, Patrick Laine, and you had Pierre-Luc Dubois go ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't know, even though I agree with you, Drew, that maybe you let him play overseas, but I don't know if Ken Holland looks at it like that and Keith Gretzky looks at it like that, because you see Laine and you're like, okay, well, Laine is, he's going to probably score 50 goals next year. He's already scored 44 goals. Right. Pierre-Luc Dubois is the number one center for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Obviously, we know what Austin Matthews has been doing there in Toronto. So maybe they look at it like, maybe we should just get something for him now.
But what now. Are you getting for him? You're getting that, probably...
I think you're not getting as much. It's really tough to trade a 21-year-old, a big body like Jesse Puljujärvi, fourth overall pick, who just hasn't worked out so far. It's really tough to trade him when he's coming off such a poor season and expect to get, a really good return. That's what I'm saying. I really think, people are probably calling Ken Holland and asking about Jesse Puljujärvi, and they're probably offering him much less than he wants.
When the Oilers traded Nyl Yakupov, another player who was drafted high by the Oilers and then, asked for a trade after he flamed out, or, the team mismanaged him, whatever you want to say, they traded him to St. Louis in exchange for Zach Pachairo. I might be mispronouncing it, but either way, he's not an NHL player, and a conditional third-round pick in 2017. So that's probably what you're getting for Puljujärvi, right? I mean, who's trading you who's trading you a prospect that's on the verge of making an NHL impact at this point in time?
I was looking at a team like Arizona.
Okay, so
right, Arizona. You hear Arizona might be interested in Matt Duchene. We heard that they might be interested in a guy like Kevin Hayes. But like, are they trading you Lawson Crouse?
No,
for Jesse Puljujärvi. Like, but I also don't like, if I'm Edmonton. Lawson Crouse, all due respect, his upside isn't as high as Jesse Puljujärvi. Like, Jesse Puljujärvi, they expected when they drafted him, to be, a 30 to 40 goal scorer, right?
Right. So that's why I'm saying the only answer to me is keep him overseas and hope that he regains his form, regains his confidence, regains, being a quality asset, because right now he's a diminished asset.
He absolutely is a diminished asset, and that's why I think, going back to what I said before, Ken Holland is in such a tough position if he is going to trade Jesse Puljujärvi, because it's similar to Jacob Trouba, actually. I think there are some parallels there that I don't think Oilers fans are going to be happy with whatever return he gets.
Well, I mean, whatever it might be, that the Oilers' previous regime just screwed it up so badly that it's another black mark on their characters and on their performance as general managers. It'll be interesting to see how the Oilers try and recoup this. But to me, it seems like the only legitimate option to try and hold on to regain some asset and recoup some asset here is to try and hold on to him and let him play overseas and see if he can regain his career that way. And if he doesn't, so be it. I mean, you weren't going to get anything for him in return. There's almost a no-lose situation doing it that way. Let's continue on with our conversation about the NHL, the world of the NHL, the NHL draft. Again, let's recap what the Jets have done earlier today. The Jets had four selections on day two of the NHL draft. They started in the second round with Simon Lundmark being taken number 51 overall. He is a defenseman out of Sweden. The Jets were able to select him in the second round. They didn't have a pick again until the fourth round. In the fourth round, the Jets selected large centerman out of Finland, Henri Nikkanen, at number 113 overall. He had a better scouting report. He had an injury-riddled year in Finland, so that explains why he fell to where he fell in the NHL draft. The Jets had two selections in the fifth round. At number 134, the Jets selected Harrison Blaisdell out of the BC Junior League. He's going to be playing college hockey at the University of North Dakota. We interviewed him. It's available on IllegalCurve.com. Our interview as well with second-round selection Simon Lundmark is available on IllegalCurve.com. And with their final pick so far this afternoon, the Jets selected goaltender Logan Neaton from the BC Junior League. At number 144, he's originally from Michigan. He played junior hockey in British Columbia. He is committed to go to UMass Lowell as well. So those are the Jets' four selections on day two of the NHL draft. They selected last night Ville Heinola at number 20 overall, Finnish defenseman, can play the right side, but he's a left-shooting defenseman out of Finland, very similar to Josh Morrissey. We'll speak with Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff about all of these selections coming up probably within the hour at the conclusion of the 2019 NHL draft. They are into the latter half of the sixth round and then the seventh round to go, so about another 40-45 picks to go in the 2019 NHL draft.
Yeah, it's flown by. And, you know, Dave and I went to four drafts in a row together from 2013 to 2016, and it always happens
memories
like that.
Well, and we'll be back in Montreal next year.
Well, and unfortunately, you know,
if you guys go to Montreal next year, you're not going to make it to the draft after the Friday night. That's what I tweeted when they announced it was in Montreal. I said, if you ever wanted to see general managers make a trade while hungover, wait for day two of the draft next year, because that Friday night is going to make for a very early Saturday morning next season.
Yeah, on that topic, I was a little bit surprised that it went back to Montreal. You remember in 2009, Richie, yeah, I remember, went to the draft in Montreal there, so I thought it might actually be in Winnipeg. Because you heard that, you know, around 2020, 2021.
My understanding is they're waiting for the Sutton Place Hotel to be finished, the one that's going to be part of True North Square. Once that hotel is finished, that's when I think that you'll see the Jets start to get involved in the upcoming, in drafts and bidding for all-star games and things like that. So I think they're waiting for that hotel and really the whole True North development to sort of be ready to go and all shined up. And that's when you're going to start seeing some of these major NHL events here in Winnipeg.
Yeah, and we don't know, you know.
Congratulations, you're an all-star. You're going to Winnipeg in late January.
No, but you know, when you talk about,
well,
you know,
that's why a draft is,
we obviously hope that Winnipeg does get the draft either in, you know, 2021 or 2022, but, you know, just thought it was interesting that, you know, it's back in Montreal, considering that it was there back in 2009, 10 years ago. But obviously, you know, Montreal, you know, amazing city, so hopefully we're there next summer. But you know, it goes really quickly once you get into, you know, rounds 3 and 4. You know, round 2 is a little bit slower.
Yeah.
Obviously, round 1 is the longest, but, you know, round 2 is a little bit slower, especially when you have some trades. But once it gets to round 3, and as you mentioned, Drew, the sixth round almost over, and then you've only got one more round left. So, you know, obviously the Jets don't have a pick here in the sixth or seventh round, but they have the two fifth rounders. And, you know, if you look at all the rankings, it looks like the Jets got some pretty good value there in the fifth.
Before we go to break, this is a tweet courtesy of our buddy Frank Saravelli of TSN. An incredible 17 of 18 skaters from this year's USA National Team Development Program have been selected in the NHL draft. He says that Michael Gildon is the only skater from that team to not have been selected, but 17 out of 18 skaters from one team being selected in the draft has to be some sort of record. Certainly an incredible day for the U.S. National Team Development Program. And, you know, the kids in America are doing okay on this Saturday and day two of the 2019 NHL Draft. When we come back, much more about the draft, much more about a busy week in the NHL. We'll look ahead to free agency. That starts soon as well. Much more to come. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, day two of the 2019 NHL Draft on your home of the Jets, TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Day two of the 2019 NHL Draft continues here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuke, Ezra Ginsberg with you Saturday afternoon. Yesterday, Jets head coach Paul Maurice met with the assembled media to talk about the offseason so far, to talk about the Jets trading of Jacob Trouba, to talk about his quote-unquote ruffled feathers comment from the end of the season media scrum. Here's what Jets head coach Paul Maurice had to say, or a piece of what Jets head coach Paul Maurice had to say yesterday evening in Vancouver.
Well, not surprised. You know it's coming. You know, we're getting to that direction. I like Jake. I think, you know, it's tough. The tough part is you feel like you've invested in a player, especially a defenseman, because they take a little longer to get their feet wet and to get comfortable. And now he's in his peak and he's prime. But this challenge is a function of, we got a bunch of really, really good players who are young that produced at a young age, and their numbers say they're going to get paid, so not everybody gets to stay. So I like Neil, who's coming in. I like his game. He skates and he can get to the puck first, and he's not afraid. He'll go back and get it. I think he's going to fit. His style of game is going to fit specifically into what we need with the other defensemen we have back, and there's still, we're still filling out that lineup on the back end over the course of the summer, but we like him as a lot for the person that he is and the style of game that he plays.
As of right now, would Pionk be a candidate to play with Josh, or do you think Dustin goes into that slot? I mean, I know you have a lot of moving parts the
only,
on the back.
But, you know, Ken, the only way that can be properly answered is if you understand the other names.
Okay.
Right? You truly can't say, I'll give you more general. Absolutely. Yeah. Right? Based on style, and when you look at the first three quarters of a season, he's playing with Mark Stahl and he's playing against the other team's best. You know, when you talk to their coach, he was complete comfort doing that. So that's a possibility. Or you'd say, well, with that skill set, are we better off matching him with someone else so that we have a little bit of depth kind of in checking on both pairs?
Right. There's always some level of uncertainty, but the back end could really be in flux based on UFAs and RFAs.
Yes.
Do you just have to be patient? Or, I mean, you've been through this before, obviously, but I mean, what's it like to have a bit of a players in pencil on your whiteboard rather than ink?
It can be exciting. You know, when you didn't get to where you wanted to get to, but you think you're moving in the right direction, a little bit of a change is a good thing. You know, keeping the core together for a long time is a wonderful idea, but if it's beyond the core, you know, I just remember Detroit always kind of bringing in two or three of those older veteran guys toward the end and being hard grinding. And they had brought some hunger. We're still a real young group. A little bit of change can be a good thing. So I'm excited about it now.
On the idea of change, Paul, any thoughts as to anything else that might change? Would you look to add to your leadership group as early as this fall, or you're content with what you have there?
Yeah, you know what? I like our room, and I like the people that are building in it, that next layer of leadership that we've got coming in. I'm big fans. And I'll miss some names, but Josh Morrissey and Adam Lowry coming into a time where they can hold a room with a comment and they can impact the game with their play. It's not just it's a direct involvement. They're on the bench. The guys watching them play know these guys are key pieces. So much of leadership is based in age. As you get another year in the league, you get a little experience, you have your difficult challenges that all teams have, and you learn to handle them, and that's leadership.
Staff, you always reassess the staff too, or are there some things, do you think you need to have any philosophical changes, or will you have to change your demeanor and how you deal with players at all?
I'm not ready to change the grip. We hit the ball down the fairway an awful lot. Had one go in the water on us in the playoffs. I'm not sure I'm changing my clubs or my grip yet. We're a pretty good hockey team.
Is there why I ask.
Kenny appreciates the golf analogy. Yes,
and right I don't play, so I get to use it, right? Because the next thing is, how good your grip is. I don't know. I don't play. A
couple hole-in-ones.
There you go.
And is this weekend any different for you than, say, a year ago when you guys didn't have the first pick? There's maybe a lot of things in motion that weren't necessarily in motion a year ago. Does it change your role at all here?
I'm more aware of where my phone is. There's more, but there's a bunch of, the Coaches Association is more involved in this week for us, and the clinic that we ran yesterday was outstanding. Right. Really, so that was an all-day event kind of thing. In terms of relating with management, you're always available. Yes, you're having more conversations because there's more things in play.
Right.
But unless you're doing a trade, there's not much for the head coach to do at a draft.
Sure.
And you shake a lot of hands, you're slapping guys in the back that you really want to beat bad. You like them, you have some fun, you get together. But off trades, there's not much for us to do.
Because you know the market, it hangs on every word. That ruffled feathers comment on the exit day. I mean, any more just thought
which
on that?
Which one was that?
Well, where you talk about there's some ruffled feathers we have to smooth out sort of when we come back in the fall. Which some people, you know, took to be a number of things.
It was at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the bigger context on that?
Right. I mean, everybody didn't like how the season ended, right?
Well, no, we're all growly.
Right. So will time just heal all wounds in that case? Or?
Well, you don't want them all healed. You know, you want to bring a little bit of that pain back to you. You want to keep some of that. So, you know, sour is a better word. Everybody, when you think, whether you're right or wrong, but you think you're in that mix of teams that are good enough to win and you don't, it hurts like hell. The last thing you want is everybody coming back happy the next year. That was good enough. You know, the golf season was longer. That's the exact opposite mindset you want. So,
looking back,
maybe I just made
did guys come in points. Last year happy just because of the success of the year earlier?
We're 33-16-2 at the end of January.
Yeah.
We played very, very well. We lost our big dog on the back end for half a season. Because of our Finland trip. So these are factors, not excuses. On the back end of our schedule was very heavy. A bunch of trips to the West Coast. It was really difficult. And we were playing playoff teams. So we were running a little better than 500, I think, in that stretch, which related to our earlier is not very good. But when you're running against playoff teams and you play a game over 500 against them, you get to win the Stanley Cup, right? So the hockey was better. And it was a hell of a series. And we didn't win. The idea that it should be easy, it shouldn't. It should be exactly that hard. So when we lose, we go home, we're growling, we grind our teeth, and then you get to the draft and you get a new young face that doesn't care what the score was in the last game. He's going to get drafted by the Winnipeg Jets in the first round tonight. You turn the page and move forward.
That was Winnipeg Jets head coach Paul Maurice in a meeting with the media last night prior to the first round of the NHL draft. Some interesting comments from the Jets head coach there, you know, sort of doubling down on a lot of his decisions and a lot of his usage. And I think a lot of people were hoping, I suspect, to hear maybe a bit of a not more humble Paul Maurice, because I don't think he was necessarily arrogant, but maybe a Paul Maurice who would say, yeah, had I approached things differently, maybe there would have been a different result. Some really interesting back and forth, particularly between him and Winnipeg Free Press columnist and Jets reporter Mike McIntyre.
Yeah, and, you know, we've already listened to that audio from Paul Maurice, but, you know, if you haven't listened to it, you can hear the frustration is still there from Paul Maurice. I mean, and why wouldn't he be frustrated? I mean, the entire Jets organization wasn't happy with the way that the first round series went, right? The Jets had aspirations of going to the Stanley Cup final and ultimately winning the Stanley Cup. And, you know, Mike McIntyre asked about the ruffled feathers comment. And, you know, obviously, you know, Paul Maurice got defensive there. And, you know, it was clear, guys, that, you know, it was a tough end to the season for the Jets. And Paul Maurice points out that the Jets were in a really good position, first place in the Central Division. And they were first place in the Central Division for the majority of the season. It's not like the Nashville Predators didn't have a disappointing season either, right? You're coming off of a 117-point season. And what did they have, 100 points, 101 points this year? So, I mean, the Predators had a disappointing season as well. So that's why you're starting to see some movement from both of these teams, right? And so, I mean, the Predators, I mean, we know that, you know, they made the big trade moving P.K. Subban to New Jersey for a couple of second rounders and Steven Santini and Jeremy Davies.
That happened earlier this afternoon, right. About 4 hours ago or
right.
thereabouts.
But David Poile, I mean, you know, Drew, he's not done. I mean, Matt Duchene, he might be the guy that they sign, but we know that the Nashville Predators, they might move a guy like Kyle Turris, who obviously hasn't worked out as the second line center there. So, I mean, it's understandable, I guess, is what I'm saying, that Paul Maurice and the entire Jets organization isn't happy. And, you know, Mike McIntyre is obviously, you know, a good friend of the show, and he always asks the hard questions. But, you know, good for Paul Maurice as well for, you know, kind of backing up his statements. And he even mentions, I mean, we talked about this. How much did we talk about this in February, March, April? Dustin Byfuglien, Josh Morrissey, I mean, those injuries, I don't care. The Jets are never going to use that as an excuse, but that really derailed their season. And you know that Byfuglien and Morrissey were not 100% in the first round against St. Louis. And, you know, a couple of other players weren't either. Namely, Nikolaj Ehlers was not 100%. So, I mean, I'm not surprised at all that Maurice got a little bit defensive there with Mike.
I think the Jets, Dave, I mean, we obviously always keep a closer eye on the Jets given based here in Winnipeg. But I think the Jets, really, of all 31 NHL teams, might be the most fascinating team to start the season. Given the swirl of negativity that ended the year, given the fact that I'm not sure that those wounds are necessarily healed yet, because it doesn't sound like they're healed, which is either a good thing or a bad thing. Maybe you come in with a chip on your shoulder and you perform as a result. But I think the first month to 6 weeks of the season for the Winnipeg Jets are going to be among the most fascinating for any team in the NHL.
Yeah, absolutely, Drew. I think you're 100% right. I think the fact that there's a lot of pressure on this Jets team. Look, they went to the Western Conference Finals two seasons ago, and now last year, you know, you get bumped by St. Louis, and of course nobody's happy. But the fact is, this is a team, and some people were already saying the window's closed now. I don't believe that. I think that the Jets still have a tremendous talent pool with which to draw from. I mean, if one thing we've learned is that you need a lot of depth in your organization to be able to sustain that sort of long run. Of course, it's nothing earth-shattering right there. But I think that the Jets do have that. I think that they still have a nice pipeline. Now, again, the players we're talking about today aren't obviously in that next year mold. These are guys who are a few years down the road. But the fact of the matter is, Mike answered it when I asked him in the first hour of the show about guys who are going to be playing. And you got the Veselainens, you got the Appletons, you've got the Roslovic, who's going to be, obviously he's been playing, but he's going to take a bigger role potentially next year. And that, to me, is what you're going to need to see from this Jets organization, is allowing those young players to come in here. Sammy Niku, Tucker Pullman. I mean, these are guys who have been playing with men.
Appleton
too. These are not guys who are playing with boys and haven't had the experience. Like when I talked to Pascal Vincent, head coach of the Manitoba Moose last year, and I asked him about Tucker Pullman, he said he looks like a guy playing in the wrong league. That wasn't a negative, obviously. That was because he should be in the NHL. That's the way Tucker Pullman was playing. Now, Tucker Pullman had injury issues last year, which derailed his season, but Tucker Pullman was a beast for the Moose. So to me, you've got Pullman, you got Niku, you got Veselainen, you got who's not, and again, none of these guys are getting anything handed to them. None of these guys are going to have a ready-made spot for them on a roster. But I think that from the Jets' perspective, this is the part that's incumbent on not Cheveldayoff, but Paul Maurice, is you have to break your reliance on veterans.
Yes,
and
preach
and go with those young guys. And again, because my point is this: if you're going to trust the young guys,
yeah,
you have to be able to trust them at the if you want to trust them at the end of the season.
You have to trust them in the beginning.
Trust them at the beginning, and put Sammy Niku, put Tucker Pullman, and more importantly, first of all, so there's a two-pronged benefit. Number one, these young players are going to get the benefit of minutes played against other NHLers. That's huge. Secondly, and probably more importantly, Blake Wheeler, Mark Scheifele, what's happening for them? They're playing less minutes.
So they can play more at the back end.
Absolutely. So you want those guys not being broken down. So
this,
to me,
this
that's
is
what
Paul
I would
Maurice.
Do.
That's what Paul Maurice, I mean, most head coaches don't like playing rookies.
Yeah, I get it.
But most head coaches have now acknowledged the reality of the situation in this day and age in the NHL is that given salary cap constraints, you need to play young players. And to your point, David, I think you articulated it fantastically, is in order to play those young players at the end of the year, you need to play them in October and you need to play them in November. And you might have to hold your nose a little bit when you see some things you don't like. You might have to hold your nose and say, okay, yeah, that's not, I don't like how you did that, but you use it as a teaching moment. And Paul Maurice, I think that's a shortcoming of his. He's going to have to get over that. He's going to have to realize that he's going to need to use these players. He's going to need to hold his nose. He's not going to need to, he can't staple them to the bench and play them 4 minutes a game like you saw with Jack Roslovic at certain times this past season. You need to rely on those players, which means you might need to overlook a few mistakes here and there, use them as teaching moments so that you can rely on those players later on in March and in April when the games matter more.
Right, and I think Paul Maurice knows that there's a good chance that Mason Appleton, Christian Vesalainen, Sami Niku, Tucker Poolman, I think he knows that there's a good chance that these are going to be full-time NHLers next year, as opposed to guys that are, you know, flip-flopping between the American Hockey League and the NHL. But having said that, that's why players like Matthew Perreault, Brian Little, Dustin Byfuglien, Blake Wheeler, the older veterans on the team are so important. That's why, you know, you hope that the Jets are able to retain Matthew Perreault, even though he's a guy that you hear, you know, his name in trade rumors.
Sure, salary cap issues.
You can't have an entire team of 22-year-olds, right? So right. Even though I agree, I mean, you know, Tucker Poolman's a little bit older. He's 25. But I agree with Dave. I mean, Tucker Poolman, he should be in the NHL next year. There's nothing more that he can accomplish at the American Hockey League level. Like, he's a man. He's 25 years old. He's been a prospect in the Jet system for a long time. Same thing goes for Sami Niku. And, I mean, Niku Nation is going to love this if they're listening right now. But Niku is a guy that... he deserves a full-time role in the NHL. Now, with Myers and Trouba gone, obviously Myers isn't officially gone, but we expect Myers, he's going to be too expensive. But with Myers and Trouba gone, I mean, that's the opportunity right there for Niku and Poolman on the right side. Now, as far as the left side goes, I mean, are the Jets going to be able to afford Ben Chiarot? We don't know. Maybe Nathan Beaulieu is a guy they bring back. But the point is, I mean, some of these younger players... they've graduated. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, you know, once you get your arts degree, you either enter the workforce or you get your master's degree.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
These guys are entering their workforce at this point in time, and yes, the work is with the Winnipeg Jets. That's it for hour number three. When we come back, we are going to continue our day two coverage of the 2019 NHL Draft. They are into round seven, and when round seven concludes, we will bring to you Winnipeg Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff. More to come. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Welcome back to TSN 1290. This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show coverage of day two of the 2019 NHL Draft. We are into round seven, where if a team uses a timeout, they should be punished immediately. The Nashville Predators use the timeout. Each team has a five-minute timeout they're allotted. At the end of the sixth round, the Nashville Predators use the timeout, a full five-minute timeout before making their selection. As far as I'm concerned, that should not be allowed. I think apparently they got booed heavily by the fans that are still in attendance in Vancouver.
Yeah, Drew, I wanted to get in. Jake Schmaltz just went to the Boston Bruins at 192nd overall. He's the cousin of Nick Schmaltz and Jordan Schmaltz, and he's also committed to UND. I always like to get in the UND connections there. We were talking about Harrison Blaisdell, so he's going to be a teammate of Jake Schmaltz playing there in Grand Forks. So again, Jake Schmaltz, cousin of Jordan and Nick Schmaltz, 192nd overall to Boston. He's going to play for UND with Jets fifth rounder Harrison Blaisdell.
Yeah, speaking of UND, normally at this point in time, we would try and keep you up to date on any Manitobans who've been drafted.
Yep.
This has got to be historic. There have been so far zero Manitobans drafted at the 2019 NHL Draft. I'm not sure if that's ever happened before, but right now, you know, an 0-4 going up about Manitoban draft picks so far through six rounds. Hopefully, somebody will get selected.
And we still have about 20 picks left, right?
So. Yeah, you know, we had goaltender Trent Miner on the program about 3 weeks ago. He's plays for the Vancouver Giants. We thought that
it was last week.
Was that last week?
Yeah.
Time flies. We hope that he might have been drafted, and he still has a possibility of being drafted here late in the seventh round. But so far, Manitoba shut out at the 2019 NHL Draft.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, we hope that Trent Miner is drafted here in the seventh round. But, you know, I just mentioned this off air. Carson Kuhlman, yeah, a guy who obviously won a national championship with Minnesota Duluth. I mean, he's a guy that wasn't drafted. We expected him to be drafted in the 2014 draft in Philadelphia. You know, Carson Kuhlman ended up being the MVP for University of Minnesota Duluth, and he just represented Boston in the Stanley Cup Final. And he had a big goal in, was that game five or game six for Boston? So, I mean, just because you're not drafted doesn't mean that you're not going to have a nice pro career, right? Well, I just wanted to get that in there.
Absolutely. It's certainly not the end of the world to not be drafted. It's better to be drafted, but not the end of the world. But to some extent, you know, if you're not drafted in the seventh round, for example, and you can sign as an unrestricted free agent, you can pick your location. Yep. Maybe you think there's one organization in particular that's better for you.
Yep.
So there is some school of thought that says that if you're not drafted, but you're you can sign as an unrestricted free agent, that you know you might be in a bit of a better position than if you're drafted by an organization that might not be able to handle you as well as you would hope. Time will tell, of course. We're into the seventh round. We're going to also bring to you Winnipeg Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff. At the conclusion of this draft, we'll talk to Chevy about the Jets' four day two picks, five picks in total. Let's take this opportunity to recap, in case you're just joining us. This is what the Winnipeg Jets have done, and actually a good point I should make out. Peyton Krebs, of course, was drafted in the first round.
He's from Alberta, though.
He's from Alberta. Yeah, he's an Albertan playing now for the Winnipeg Ice. So he's not quite a Manitoban, but he is a Winnipeg Ice member, so he's got maybe honorary Manitoban status.
He's an adopted Manitoban, but he wasn't born in Manitoba.
There you go. Fair enough. So it's all about how you want to look at each individual situation. So the Jets started, this is about, I don't know, 3.5 hours ago. Simon Lundmark, they took a Swedish defenseman with their second round selection at number 51 overall, a right shot defenseman who split his time between the Swedish Junior League and the Swedish Elite League this past season. So he was the Jets' second round selection. The Jets did not have a third round selection. In the fourth round, they took Henri Nikkanen, a centerman from Finland, good size, 6'4", over 200 pounds, a player that had actually was well thought of but had an injury-riddled season this past year, which maybe account for why he fell in a lot of draft rankings. So the Jets hoping that with a healthy year, he can begin to make a contribution to their organization over the next couple of seasons. Then in the fifth round, the Jets had two picks at number 134 and number 144. At 134, the Jets took Harrison Blaisdell from the BC Junior Hockey League. He's a center/winger. He models his game after Brad Marchand, and as he said us, minus the licking. He's heading to the University of North Dakota. He joined us on the program, that interview available on illegalcurve.com. And the interview, of course, with Simon Lundmark, the Jets' second round pick, also available on illegalcurve.com. 10 picks later, the Jets went back to the BC Junior Hockey League. They selected goaltender Logan Neaton at 144. He played for Prince George in the BC Hockey League. They were actually the champions this year. He's originally from Michigan. He's going to be heading to UMass Lowell, very similar to a former Jets goaltender who was picked in the fifth round. Pardon me, a current Jets goaltender who was picked in the fifth round from Michigan, who went to UMass Lowell, that being Connor Hellebuck. So the Jets, 5 picks in total so far in the 2019 NHL draft. One yesterday, Ville Heinola taken 20th overall in the first round, and then the 4 picks that they took earlier today.
Yeah, and, you know, Jets amateur scouting staff, as usual, they are drafting from all different leagues. I mean, 5 different picks from 3 different leagues. You know, we talked about Ville Heinola from the SM Liga in Finland, and then when you're talking about Simon Lundmark, he obviously played for Linköping in Sweden. Nikkanen, also from the Finnish league. And then you're talking about the BCHL. But with the exception, Drew, of the 2015 draft, where they took the majority of the players from the United States Hockey League with Kyle Connor and Ross Levick, and Mason Appleton was in that 2015 draft. Who else am I for? CJCs?
Spacek.
But he was in the Western Hockey League.
Oh, you're saying
not the USHL. Who else was from the USHL, Dave, in that 2015 draft?
Well, they got Harkins. He's not from the USHL, but they got Harkins.
Dub. They had at least 3 guys from the USHL that year, but I want to say there was a 4th guy from the
they
USHL.
Had Connor, Roslevic.
Appleton.
Eric Foley.
There you go. Cedar Rapids. Right?
Cedar Rapids Rough Riders. Yeah, Eric Foley.
So they had 4 picks from the USHL. But aside from that, I mean, we know that Mark Hillier and the amateur. By the way, that was a great touch with Marcel Como coming out with Kevin Cheveldayoff his last year as an amateur scout.
Retiring at season's end.
Great touch. So we should give Marcel Como a shout out there. But the Jets amateur scouting staff, even though it looks like they've been really focusing on Finland, you know, with Laine and Christian Vesalainen and Ville Heinola, Santeri Virtanen, it really looks like they're not afraid to draft players from any league.
There we go. The Colorado Avalanche, the streak is over. The Colorado Avalanche, with the 202nd pick, have selected Trent Miner.
Awesome.
Yeah, Trent Miner, Vancouver.
That's great.
Vancouver,
the illegal curve bump.
The illegal curve bump, exactly. Yep. He was on the program with us last week.
Well, that's great for him.
Vancouver Giants goaltender, originally from the Westman area of Manitoba.
In Souris,
played his junior.
Home of Andy Murray.
That's right. Played his youth hockey in the Brandon area. So Trent Miner is the first Manitoban off the board.
Yep.
He goes to the Colorado Avalanche with the 202nd pick in the seventh round of the NHL draft.
Yeah, and that's just great for Trent Miner and his family. And, you know, he's going to be the number one goaltender, we assume. He split the time this year.
In Vancouver, not Colorado.
With David Tendick, who's a Arizona draft pick.
That's right.
So, Trent, you know, again, just congratulations to Trent Miner, a good Western Manitoba boy, the first Manitoban drafted this year. As you mentioned, we had him on, just a great kid. Yeah. So, we'll send him a text to congratulate him, and just great to see.
And if you want to hear from Trent Miner, that interview, of course, is available last week's show. So last Saturday, it's on illegalcurve.com. While you're at it, while I'm talking to you about the show, you might as well subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Rate us, review us. If you like what you hear, give us a compliment. If you don't like what you hear, well, maybe keep that to yourself. Or just go on Twitter and, like everyone else does, you know, start to trash people. That's generally, I think that's generally accepted behavior here.
Have people been trashing us?
No, so far
people are doing okay.
Very good job today, actually.
But we love that. Like,
this is a fun day.
You can trash us.
This is a fun. Yeah, I got a thick skin. I'm also not going to engage.
And I don't expect anybody to trash Dave M, because, you know, he's the Moose insider, and, you know, if anybody has a problem with Dave M, they have a problem with me. But I can take it. I'm a big boy. I know that, you know, people like to trash me, or I certainly have more. There are more reasons to trash me.
It's true. I mean,
it's because you actually live in trash.
Yeah, I mean, you basically are the Oscar the Grouch of TSN 1290 here. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, day two coverage of the 2019 NHL Draft here on TSN 1290. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg. We're going to be with you for the
next... Call me the Garbage Man.
We might start calling you the Garbage Man. I think we finally found a better nickname for you than Ezzy. You know, I think the Garbage Man works. Ezzy the Garbage Man Ginsberg. It sort of rolls off the tongue, everything about that. I like that. Anyways, we're going to be with you. Kevin Cheveldayoff, Jets general manager, coming up at the end of the draft as well. So much more to come here on TSN 1290. I mean, next Saturday, guys, free agency obviously opens on July 1st. So
I wouldn't go that far ahead. We got player development camp.
Fine, that's right. Development camp will be on Tuesday. Will be the first opportunity to see a lot of these draft picks on the ice as members of the Winnipeg Jets organization. Monday is for off-ice testing, and then Tuesday will be the first opportunity to see them. That, of course, always happens at the MTS Iceplex. So you can MTS Iceplex. Pardon me.
You can
check that out.
I've got the full schedule up on illegalcurve.com. No big deal, but. And I think, it's mostly in the mornings. They may have a scrimmage on Friday, but for the most part, it's like 10, 11, and 12. So all the times are listed. We don't know, obviously, who is going to be participating, obviously, because the Jets were waiting to hear who they had drafted. So you can see some of the names who were on the list last year. But, you know, again, expect a lot of these kids that'll make their way. And Jets fans, it's a pretty cool opportunity to go and, you know, you get a chance to meet them. You can get autographs signed and you know, take pictures of guys who are eventually going to be wearing Winnipeg Jets logos on their chest.
Exactly right. So you can check that out this week as well. And then next Saturday will be our NHL free agency preview show. We know July 1st is 9 days away, and that's going to be the opening of free agency. Of course, the window to have conversations opens on Monday, if I'm not mistaken. Pardon me, Tuesday, the 25th, is when you can start having conversations. Other teams can start having conversations with your players. We know that it's going to be a bit of a chaotic next week or so.
Well, and there are huge names out there, right? Artemi Panarin, Matt Duchene, Sergei Bobrovsky, I mean, Joe Pavelski, even though, you know, you expect Joe Pavelski to stay in San Jose, right?
Maybe
not.
Maybe not.
And Jake Gardner. Yeah. We talked about Jake Gardner. I mean, he could fit in nicely in a team's top four. So
people can start talking to Jets free agents, Tyler Myers, Ben Sherratt. I mean, offer sheets, the whole nine yards, the whole window of opportunity is going to open very shortly. So the next, you know, now that the draft is quickly coming to an end, everybody can sort of take a deep breath. They'll fly home presumably later today or early tomorrow, and then, you know, it's right back to the grindstone. This is the time where general managers really make their hay in the next couple of weeks, where they're trying to get these contracts taken care of. We'll see what the Jets do. We know the names. We've talked about them for really ad nauseum now, as this team is trying to sort of reboot itself after the first round playoff disappointment.
Right, and I wouldn't necessarily expect the Jets to sign Kyle Connor and Patrick Laine
No.
By this time next week, but you know, certainly we're going to have a lot more clarity on what's happening with the Jets, because we talked about it. Tyler Myers, if he's going to get $6 million a year, most likely the Jets aren't going to be able to afford that. And then you hear reports from Ken Wiebe that, you know, Ben Chiarot, teams might be offering him $2.5 to $3 million. Are the Jets going to be able to afford that? Brandon Tanev, same thing, right, Dave? I mean, Brandon Tanev, what's he going to get? $2 to $3 million? And, you know, Andrew Kopp is a guy that we talked about last week, but, you know, doesn't seem to get talked about enough. I mean, for me, Kopp is a guy that I would have no problem giving Andrew Kopp a 3-4 year deal, right? So, Chevy's going to be very busy in the next month or so.
You know what's most fascinating to me about Andrew Kopp is that his agent is Kurt Overhart, and you wonder if there's any lingering resentment. I assume that general managers and agents are able to really compartmentalize negotiations from one player to another, and there's no, you know, bad blood that carries over. But that to me is sort of just an asterisk next there. Does that mean that Overhart is going to be playing hardball? Probably is, because Andrew Kopp coming off a career year for the Winnipeg Jets.
I don't think Overhart's going to change his approach, but at the same time, and if I was Kevin Cheveldayoff, I'm not forgetting what he did with Jacob Trouba. And I may not like Overhart, but I'm holding my nose because I know that I have to get this negotiation done, and you can't allow that emotion to creep in. So I think you have to, like you said, Drew, compartmentalize it and just get it to get the next deal done.
Yeah, and I don't think Andrew Kopp is going to be contentious, right? Like, it's not a similar situation as Trouba. Like, the Jets like Andrew Kopp. Kopp likes playing here. I mean, they've developed him. They've drafted him. I mean, yeah, they did that with Trouba as well, but I feel like this is going to be a lot easier. Like, I could see Kopp actually being the first of the RFAs that gets signed, right? And
you heard it here first.
No, but honestly, though, Dave, like, why not sign Kopp to a 3 or 4 year deal?
Well, I mean, again, it becomes like, a function.
Can you give me a reason why not to sign him? I mean, he's such a reliable player. He can play.
Every team needs a player like
center
Andrew
wing.
Kopp.
He can play all types of different situations.
Fits in the Jets' bottom six very well. So there's a lot of reasons that the Jets need a guy like him. It'll be interesting with the dollar figure and everything, and that, how that negotiation plays out. Let's go to break. When we come back, I think we're going to be joined by Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff. We're still going to bring you coverage. The 2019 NHL draft is wrapping up. Much more to come. You're listening to the home of the Winnipeg Jets. Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff up next on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the O'Legal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.
Saturday afternoon, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, our coverage of day two of the 2019 NHL Draft. There are six or seven picks remaining in the seventh round. We're going to be joined by Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff coming up in a few minutes' time to get a wrap on everything that went down in Vancouver. It's been a hectic day, of course, for the Winnipeg Jets and for the NHL in general. The Jets with four day two selections after they selected Ville Heinola, number 20 overall in the first round last night. And of course, after the draft comes free agency, comes the window of opportunity to talk to free agents. So it is certainly a busy time in the NHL calendar. Alongside Dave Minuk and Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. We welcome you back to our coverage. Like I said, Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff coming up shortly here on the program with us.
It doesn't feel like it's been 4.5 hours at all. Like, I mean, I've only had 5 Red Bulls. Like, let's do another 2 hours here, boys.
You're cross-eyed and speaking in tongues right now, but you're doing fine.
Yeah, I'm a little bit jumpy, whatever.
No, you know what, Ezzy's right. It's very different when you're not at drafts. Like, when you've been to the draft and it's chaotic and you're moving around a lot and you're meeting the prospects and you're doing your interviews there and then you have to go back. Whereas here we're all contained in this one room, and so it's a little bit different. Yeah. It's a different dynamic, but it's still good.
Yeah, and I just hope Chevy isn't looking for us right now in Vancouver, right? Because, I mean, we were planning on going, then obviously things changed here. But, you know, for 4 years in a row, we were there. 5 years in a row, I was there from 2013 to 2017. So I hope that Chevy knows we're in Winnipeg.
Where did you spend the night? Was it the Duluth Airport?
Duluth.
Yes.
Coming back from the Pittsburgh? Was it the Pittsburgh draft?
But Drew, in to Ezzy's defense, he was actually just trying to find out about Dylan Sandberg.
That's true. He was scouting the airport.
I was near Hermantown, Minnesota.
What was your flight route again?
I had a six-hour layover. I actually slept in the Duluth Airport, and there was nobody in the airport. And I actually landed in Duluth. I think it was midnight. I actually went to a bar until 2 a.m. and then slept in the Duluth Airport.
Where did you fly again? Pittsburgh?
I went. No.
Chicago.
It was Chicago. The 2017 draft was in Chicago. Okay. I went Chicago, Minneapolis, Duluth, Winnipeg.
But What flight flies from Duluth to Winnipeg?
Let's just say, well, because Dave and I were planning on driving to Chicago, and I had to get a last-minute flight.
Are you sure you didn't go Chicago, Duluth, Minneapolis, Winnipeg? Because there's no flight from Duluth to Winnipeg.
No, right. Yeah, you're right.
Thank you.
Duluth. No, did I?
You flew from Chicago to Duluth, overnighted in the airport in Duluth.
Then went Minneapolis.
The next morning you flew
to Chicago,
Winnipeg.
It was Chicago, Duluth, Minneapolis, Winnipeg.
What airplane flies from Duluth to Minneapolis?
A very small airplane.
I was going to say, that's not that surprising.
The Cessna.
I know a plane will fly, will make that trip, but it's got to be a propeller plane, right? Is that a jet that's flying there?
It was one of the big ones.
it was a 747.
They put Big Daddy on it, so we'll see.
Yeah. Anyways, that was my favorite when you told us that was your flight itinerary. That was one of my favorite stories of all time. Like, how did you get that flight? That's not a flight that anybody's ever taken before. But nice to see the things you're willing to do for the show. There,
by the way, my wife Naomi just FaceTime requested me, and obviously she thinks we're off air. Sorry, honey.
Not off air yet.
Not off. You sure you don't want to take the FaceTime call while you can hang out with your daughter?
I don't think Rack and Chris would like that.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, in a couple minutes you'll be able to talk to your daughter and you'll be able to see our kids after, of course, a very hectic 2019 NHL draft.
Five more picks left here, Drew. We've got five more. Tampa Bay's on the clock at 2:13. So
Rogers Arena looks pretty empty. There's still some fans there, but. It looks like it's pretty much...
Yeah. Well, if you're a fan and you're sticking around through the absolute bitter end of the 2019 draft and you're sticking to the end of the seventh round, you deserve some sort of kudos.
You know, though, Drew, I got to tell you, it's a very cool experience. Like, it really is. I mean, obviously, we've all been to one or two or three or four. But the fact is, like...
I've been to six, no big deal.
I knew you were going to drop that, but okay. The point is that it really is, like, you watch the fans, especially the first round... The fans getting into it, yelling and screaming, especially when it's like rivalry when we're in New Jersey and they called out the Rangers and the fans went bananas and like all the hated rivalries.
Well, so obviously Rangers suck. Like, come on.
Exactly. So, I mean, it was that kind of stuff that it makes it actually very worthwhile and very entertaining. But yeah, no, it's a cool experience and fans get into it and they like getting a chance to see these prospects right when they're fresh faced and putting on the jerseys for the first time.
Absolutely. Kevin Cheveldayoff, Jets general manager, going to join us in the next few minutes as the 2019 NHL draft is wrapping up, coming to a close. Obviously, a very busy day. The big trades of the day, there were a couple after a pretty quiet Friday. The biggest one was, of course, PK Subban being dealt from the New Jersey Devils, pardon me, from the Nashville Predators to the New Jersey Devils in exchange for Steven Santini, a couple second round picks and another draft prospect. That is the big one of the day, the Devils acquiring PK Subban. You have to like that if you're a Devils fan. I think sure you might regret a little bit the $9 million salary cap hit for the next 3 years, but the Devils have the cap space. They have a need for a defenseman on their back end.
And they have a need to convince Taylor Hall that it's worthwhile staying in New Jersey.
I think that's also a big factor there. You know, you add in Jack Hughes, you add him to Nico Hischier, you bring in PK Subban. You know, if you're Taylor Hall, the Devils are looking a lot more attractive today than they necessarily were on Thursday before the draft pick and before the big trade.
Right, and I think even without PK Subban, just drafting Jack Hughes and already having Nico Hischier there, I mean, Taylor Hall was probably thinking, okay, I mean, we're building something pretty good here, and then you bring in PK Subban, and we talked about it, a few hours ago or an hour ago. Your right side now, PK Subban, Damon Severson, Connor Carrick, Will Butcher, and Andy Green there are your top two defensemen on the left side. So, you know, the Devils, in the span of 2 or 3 months, they get the first overall pick, and they trade for PK Subban. And the big thing is, Steven Santini only played about half of the year last year for the Devils. He was a depth defenseman for them. So you gain PK Subban and Jack Hughes, and you don't have to give up a star player. Like, it's not like you had to give up Taylor Hall or you had to give up a guy like Kyle Palmieri.
We are on to the final pick of the NHL draft, the quote-unquote Mr. Irrelevant, pick number 217.
Although 216 has a great name, Massimo Rizzo.
Yes, Massimo Rizzo goes to the Carolina Hurricanes. Pick number 217, the final pick of the 2019 NHL draft, is going to go to the St. Louis Blues. They're certainly
taking their time.
Yeah, guys, you should really have made up your mind by now. This isn't like your buddy, you're doing your draft with your buddies. You know, come up and make your selection. There it is. Jeremy Michel is the final pick from the QMJHL. He is the final pick, number 217, Mr. quote-unquote irrelevant in the 2019 NHL draft. I never liked that
I wouldn't
phrase.
Call him Mr. Irrelevant.
Well, no, but that's what the saying is. That's the sort of tongue-in-cheek.
I've never heard that.
It's a pretty disrespectful one. I'm not a fan.
I'm not a fan of it either, but they do say it.
You didn't have to use it. Nobody had a gun to your head.
It's true, but I have to come get on my high horse to talk about how it's so disrespectful.
You're just doing it to inject it into the conversation.
That's right. I'm saying it, but don't ever do this again. Rid it from our language.
What an illustration.
I know. I really am a hero.
You're an educator.
It's true. I'm a pioneer. I'm a hero. I'm all sorts of things.
Some
of that
heroes
nature.
Wear capes. Others wear purple shirts and eat 7 cookies live on air.
Haven't been eating them on air. I've been eating them in between the breaks. I am nothing if not a professional.
What is that top cookie? Because that thing looks bizarre.
Sprinkles?
Well, there's got some, like...
I've been avoiding it to get to the chocolate chip ones, but, like, I don't know what that is.
It's odd. I'm not 100% certain what it is either, but that's okay. It's not a big deal.
Purple sprinkles.
I'm sure the producer, Chris Curry, will dive headfirst into the cookies that
purple
are left
sugar.
Over after we're done with them.
It matches your shirt, actually. The sprinkles on that cookie match your shirt.
Thank you. That's true. They do sort of match my shirt.
Well,
Chris?
Here we go. Breaking
news, that is the raspberry lemonade cookie. So
Raspberry lemonade.
Yep.
Wow.
I just grabbed one from Subway. It was just one of those pre-made $5 packs.
Well, you know what? I'm not about to look a gift horse in its mouth, and Chris Curry's kept us fully stocked in cookies, so kudos to Chris for doing the great job in cookies and in on the board today in producing this this 4.5+ hours of 2019 NHL draft coverage here on TSN 1290. We are waiting to get here to hear from Kevin Cheveldayoff, Jets general manager. He's going to come up momentarily alongside Dave Minuk and Ezra Ginsberg. I am your host, Drew Mindell. Anything that you've missed today on the program is available on illegalcurve.com in case you missed any of our interviews with Jets second round pick Simon Lundmark. That's available on illegalcurve.com. And our conversation with Harrison Blaisdell, the Jets fifth round pick. They had 2 fifth round picks. The first 5th round pick.
First Canadian pick
by the Jets in this draft. Harrison Blaisdell was selected at number 134. That's also available on illegalcurve.com. The other 2 people selected today, we're unable to get a hold of them. They weren't at the draft. And one is over there in Finland, Henry Nikkanen, I'm not able to get a hold of. And apparently Logan Neaton, who the Jets selected at number 144, had a bad cell connection. So technology biting us in the behind a little bit on this Saturday afternoon.
He's from Brighton, Michigan. I have been to Brighton, Michigan.
Have?
Nice. I have.
There you go. You did spend a little time in the Michigan area.
I did. It's a nice little locale. It's a suburb, I believe, of Detroit. And it's quite nice. Nice little factory they are producing for the Winnipeg Jets in terms of goaltenders and players in general.
Well, you know what they say, Dave? You haven't really lived until you visited Brighton, Michigan and spent 6 hours in the Duluth Airport.
Fair point, Ez. I agree.
Yes, exactly right. Again, Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff coming up momentarily here on the program as we're looking to get a hold of him after the 2019 NHL draft has come to a conclusion. The free agency for the NHL opens on July 1st. We'll have extended coverage of the NHL, the Jets development camp all week long here on the station and on illegalcurve.com leading up to July 1st, of course.
Yeah, and I don't know if you want to get into our winners yet as we wait for Chevy here.
I was literally just going to say that.
Well, but when,
go ahead.
But when you talk, I mean, obviously we like what the Jets did and you got to like, you know, what the Devils did. Patrick Moynihan was a guy that, you know, went in the 6th round. Jack Hughes, obviously, first overall is the big one, but, you know, I'm also factoring in the PK Subban trade, but, you know, I really like what the LA Kings did, and I'm going to say one of my winners is the LA Kings, and we obviously had Josh Cooper of The Athletic on a couple of hours ago, but, you know, Alex Turcotte is a guy that many scouts had as a top 3 pick. A lot of people thought that Chicago might take Turcotte for his Chicago area connections. Obviously, his dad, Alfie Turcotte, former NHLer, played a little bit for the Jets. But you're able to get Alex Turcotte, who many scouts believe can be a top-line center, and he probably will be. I mean, you look at the numbers that he put up with the U.S. National Team Development Program. I mean, his numbers weren't that far off from Jack Hughes, right? And when you talk about Arthur Kaliev, they got him 38th overall in the 2nd round. Basically, you got 3 first-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to look at it, like, Tobias Bjornfoot was the other... Bjornfoot, sorry, was the late first-rounder defenseman, but Kaliev was supposed to be a first-rounder. So if you want to look at it like that, the Kings got 3 first-rounders. So for a team that obviously missed the playoffs and, you know, they're in a rebuild, I don't know if Rob Blake wants to, you know, call it that, but for me, the Kings, the Devils, they have to be the winners for the weekend?
I was going to say, I do love the fact that right after the draft concludes, immediately we go into who won, who lost. And I think to myself,
as if we're going to know that for the next 5 years.
I was going to say, you're not going to know for 3 years who won and who lost. But this is, again, what the type of society we live in, and we have to declare a winner and we have to declare a loser. So,
Dave, we're trying to live in a society.
We are trying to. And that's why I'm trying to make it about not who won or lost.
Well, you know, I'm not going to say, you know, if they won or lost, but I find the Vancouver Canucks decisions at this draft to be a little just perplexing. You take a guy, a 10th overall in Vasily Podkolzin, a guy who has the talent to have previously be considered a top five pick. So you like that, but he's 2 years away. Mm-hmm. He's got a KHL contract for the next 2 years.
Yeah, but most prospects are 2 years away.
Right. So it's not a big deal. But then you trade a first round pick next year for JT Miller, a guy who's not really going to put your team over the top or anything. So I find the Vancouver decisions to be quite odd and curious as to, you know, what direction are they taking? What's the vision there in Vancouver with general manager Jim Benning?
Yeah, and you know, Nils Höglander was the guy that the Canucks drafted in the second round. I think it was 40th overall. Yeah, it was 40th overall. They took Nils Höglander. He's a left winger. You know, he's a small guy, by the way, 5'8", but he's a guy that put up pretty good numbers in the Swedish league this past year. I agree. JT Miller, we talked about it earlier. Maybe you gave up. No, you definitely did probably give up too much to get JT Miller, but we know that the Vancouver Canucks, they have to make some moves here. Even though we don't expect them to be a playoff team maybe this coming season, I mean, they have to kind of restock the shelves. And you can have, you know, Elias Pettersson, Dave, you can have Brock Besser, and, you know, Quinn Hughes is going to play full-time most likely in the NHL this coming season. But, you know, you look at that Canucks team and, you know, you need more goal scoring, and we know that they're probably going to acquire a defenseman, whether that is, you know, Tyler Myers, whether that's a guy like Nikita Zaitsev. Obviously, Myers is a UFA, whereas they'd have to trade for Zaitsev. But you hear these names out there, and, you know, Tyson Barrie, because of his BC connections, is another guy. You hear, you know, maybe the Canucks would move a guy like Jake Virtanen. The point is, even though I don't necessarily love what they did at the draft, Drew, I think that more moves are coming for Jim Benning.
Fair enough. You're looking at the bright side of things. I think in Vancouver, they're a little bit more despondent.
Right, and I have no skin in the game. It's not like I'm a Canucks fan or I'm working in Vancouver. I'm just saying, like, you know, Podkolzin to me is the big one, because a lot of scouts think that Podkolzin at 10th overall could be a steal, right? So, I mean, and, you know, Nils Höglander is the second rounder. We just don't know what these guys are. They project as top six forwards, right? Yeah. I mean, when you're talking about Podkolzin, he projects as a first-line guy, whereas maybe Höglander is more of a second-line guy. But the point is, it's way too early to know how successful the Canucks were at this year's draft. We'd have to, you know, revisit this 2 or 3 years from now.
Well, I'll tell you who seems to be building a hell of a defense is the Jets' Central Division rival, Colorado Avalanche. Mm-hmm. I mean, they take at fourth overall back in the first round, Bowen Byram, a guy that was almost universally loved by the scouts. I mean, he was thought of to be a surefire selection. They get him at fourth overall. You add him into Cale Makar, you know, who, of course, you know, joined the Avalanche late this season after his stellar college career.
And, by the way, looked like an all-star defenseman. Like, Cale Makar is the real deal.
Stepped in, no question. Yeah, stepped in, didn't miss a beat. You add him to Samuel Girard, who they got as part of the Matt Duchene trade.
Yep.
I mean,
and I think that's why, Drew, sorry to interrupt you, I think that's why, you know, you're starting to hear Tyson Barrie's name.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got Cale Makar, you've got Samuel Girard, you know, you've drafted Bowen Byram.
Yeah.
So, you know, Barrie could be expendable.
Exactly. I mean, the Colorado Avalanche are quickly, I mean, you know, rebuilding that team to be what looks like it's going to be a juggernaut for, you know, the next 5 to 10 years in the Central Division.
Zadorov is the other guy.
Nikita Zadorov.
We didn't mention him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Avalanche, never mind the forward group that we talk about with Landeskog and with Nathan MacKinnon and with...
The Avalanche are absolutely a force now in the Central Division. And, you know, I think they surprised a lot of people with how well they did this year. And you look at the future, and it's only going to get brighter.
Absolutely. Let's head to break, and then I think we're going to get Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff on the other side of the break. This will be our final break. We're with you to the top of the hour. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Day 2 coverage of the 2019 NHL Draft on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.
Welcome back to TSN 1290. This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Day 2 coverage of the 2019 NHL Draft continues.
waiting to hear from Winnipeg Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff. Hopefully he'll join us shortly so we can bring you the latest as to what Chevy has to say regarding the Jets 2019 draft selections. Let's recap what the Jets did. It started last night in round one, where the Jets took Finnish defenseman Ville Heinola at number 20 overall. The Jets started the second round with Simon Lundmark, a Swedish defenseman, selected at number 51 overall. The Jets did not have a third-round pick. Then they went back at the fourth round, where they selected Henri Nikkanen, number 113, also from Finland, a big centerman they took from the Finnish Elite League, who also spent some time with the junior program. Lukko, I believe, is the junior program he played with. The Jets had two picks in the fifth round. At number 134, the Jets took Harrison Blaisdell, a center/winger from the BC Junior Hockey League. He is going to play college hockey at the University of North Dakota. He joined us to talk about his career. You can hear that interview on illegalcurve.com. He was selected at number 134, and the Jets wrapped their day at number 144. Logan Neaton, a goaltender also from the BC Junior program. He's going to UMass Lowell of the college hockey. He's originally from Michigan. The Jets took him at 144th overall.
Yeah, and we mentioned this earlier. David Marcoux, who we had on the show earlier this year, former goalie coach of the Calgary Flames and Carolina Hurricanes, said that he thought Logan Neaton was the best goaltender in the BCHL, called him very calm. So it has great size as well. I believe he's 6'2", 6'3". So, you know, Logan Neaton, another one of those goalie prospects, and obviously, mm-hmm. you know, the Jets have some pretty good goalie prospects in the system. Jared Moe was the guy that they drafted last year in Dallas. So
yeah, sixth round with Jared Moe from the USHL.
Yes.
He was taken at 184th overall.
Right, and so, you know, obviously a lot of these prospects, Drew, we don't know a lot about, right? Ville Heinola is the most well-known prospect just because, you know, he won gold with Finland at the 2019 World Juniors. But for me, that's what's most exciting, you know, about these prospects, whether, you know, it's a guy like Logan Neaton or whether it's a guy like Harrison Blaisdell. Yeah. You know, you have an opportunity next week, if you're a Jets fan, to go watch them play at the Bell MTS Iceplex, and, you know, you have a chance to follow their careers before they end up, you know, eventually playing for the Jets and maybe move. So that's why it's such an exciting time of year, even though you might not know a lot about these guys aside from their scouting reports, is that you're going to get to, you know more about them in the days, the weeks, you know, the months, years ahead.
The Jets love their late round goalies. That's obviously this year they took Logan Neaton in the fifth round, last year as Jared Moe in the sixth round, and 2 years ago Arvid Holm from Sweden, they took him in the sixth round at 167th overall. So the Jets obviously,
well, Connor Hellebuck also a fifth rounder, right?
That's what they say about goaltending, is they say that of all the positions to be selected, Dave, that goaltending is the biggest crapshoot. We
and
know that.
Don't forget about Mikael Burden,
of course,
sixth rounder 2016.
Sixth rounder. So, you know, last four straight years the Jets have taken a late round goaltender.
And just a quick aside about Mikael Burden, he is a phenom to watch. I mean, he is worth the price of admission. I went to, obviously, the Moose games last year, and I can tell you right now that, you know, most times you're there to watch a goal scorer, or you're there to watch, you know, a real good hit. More often than not, most people aren't there to watch a goaltender. Mikael Burden will change your opinion on that.
Especially, I mean, a goaltender stick handle.
Oh, no, it's unbelievable. Like, he literally will watch a forecheck come at him, doesn't get pressured, and then he'll deke around the forward and make a beautiful pass out to his defense, and just a real, I've heard, you know, some guys talk about how good he is with his, you know, compare him to like guys like Turco, that sort of idea. Marty Turco, obviously Dallas Stars, longtime goaltender. So to me, Mikael Burden is one of those, could be a gem that the Jets are going to be relying upon, and you may see him in a Jets uniform not sooner rather than later, because again, I think the key is with these guys is allowing them to develop at the proper pace. But he will be, I would imagine, wearing a Jets uniform one day soon.
You went old school there, Manouk. Marty Turco. That's old school, when the days when you used to have those smaller goalies.
That's right.
I mean, Marty Turco, I mean, let's start pulling out like Mike Vernon. Like, are we going to go that far back?
Alan Bester.
Yeah. Former Leaf.
I like Marty Turco. Yeah.
Ken Reggett.
Greg Millen.
Yeah, we're going to go really old school with some of these names.
Well, at this point of the day, we can just pretty much keep just naming anyone we want.
The NHL and NHLPA has finally come to an agreement on what the salary cap will be.
The suspense has literally been killing me here.
You can say mazel tov, Dave. The salary cap limit for the upcoming season announced at $81.5 million. So certainly lower
than what teams, especially those teams up against the salary cap, had hoped for. Certainly lower than what Jets fans probably would have liked. $81.5 million is the salary cap for the upcoming 2019-20 NHL season.
And that sound you hear is Kyle Dubas going nuts because he needed that extra $500,000 to sign Mitch Marner.
Well, and again, remember, these guys were originally thinking it was going to be $83 million, so that's lopping $1.5 million off of the salary cap. But it's an unfortunate situation for teams like the Jets, teams like the Leafs, that are up against the upper limit of that salary cap because, as we talked about earlier in the show, which feels like a lifetime ago, these guys are going to have to tighten their belts in the next couple of years until that new US TV contract comes in and that salary cap, you know, gets bumped up to the 83, maybe a little bit more than that benchmark, and then it allows them to have a little more breathing room.
Yeah, my favorite part about it is the announcement comes out and the NHL sends out a press release saying that it's $81.5 million.
Sure.
And then 2 seconds later, the NHLPA sends out a press release saying it's $81.5 million. It's like, we know, we get it. You don't need to send out two separate press releases to announce the exact same thing, but such is life, I suppose, in the NHL. Waiting to hear from Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff. We're obviously hoping to get him on in the next 10 or so minutes as we wrap up coverage here of the 2019 NHL draft.
Well, should we do a preview, a little bit of free agency, and talk about some of the players out there?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the next big sort of milestone. I mean, Jets development camp is obviously, you know, interesting next week, but it's not, there's no drama surrounding it. You know, we know that the players are going to be there. We know that you're going to see them perform on the ice. But it's free agency. That is the next big thing. It's going to be offer sheets. It's going to be negotiations. It's going to be, you know, player movement. It's going to be who's coming, who's going, who's staying. That's, you know, everything that's going to be the most interesting part of the next week to 10 days here of the NHL calendar.
Right. And earlier we talked about Artemi Panarin. And for me, Panarin has to be, I mean, not only is he the big fish here, but he has to be the guy that you're most curious about where he's going to go, because the Florida Panthers make so much sense, guys.
Yeah.
Like, the Florida Panthers have so much cap room, and when you're talking about the connection between Panarin and new coach Joel Quenneville, it just makes so much sense, right? Panarin, when he broke into the league, he played for Chicago, obviously, and Joel Quenneville was the coach, and he won Rookie of the Year. But when you have the opportunity to add a guy who just put up 87 points, I mean, and you look at the Florida Panthers with Alex Barkov and Vinny Trocheck up the middle, you know, Jonathan Huberdeau. I mean, they've got so many talented players there. You know, Aaron Ekblad, obviously a good young defenseman. If you can put Artemi Panarin now on the wing, possibly playing with Sasha Barkov, mm-hmm. I mean, I really think that could just put the Florida Panthers over the top. And obviously, they've missed the playoffs the last couple of years. So, you know, Panarin, to me, I realize, you know, that's Captain Obvious here, but, you know, Panarin has the ability, I think, to really change that franchise, change the course for that franchise, because, you know, we know the Florida Panthers have a lot of good young talent. We talked about those players, but, I mean, Panarin, I mean, that's an all-star. If you can add him into the lineup, I just think that would really be such a huge pickup for Florida.
Yeah, it's going to be. I mean, the Florida Panthers certainly are one of the most fascinating teams, as we're going to keep an eye on as the free agency approaches on July 1st. All coverage, you know, for the next, you know, obviously here on your home of the Jets, TSN 1290. I believe we are now joined by Winnipeg Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff, joins us on the line from Vancouver, where the Jets have concluded with their 2019 NHL draft. Chevy, good afternoon. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on today.
Our pleasure, Chevy. Obviously, you Jets had 5 picks in this 2019 draft. If I'm not mistaken, that's the fewest picks that they've had since they returned to the NHL, where Jets 2.0 has existed. You know, now that the draft is complete, it's in the rearview mirror. You know, how do you see the entire last 2 days or so having played out for the Jets and for your organization?
Well, we think we you know, had an opportunity to stock up you know, on some good young players here that you know, obviously none of them are ready to play, so to speak, right now, but, you know, we'll take some time on the development side of it. But, you know, the two defensemen that we drafted early in the draft, the first and second round, already play in men's leagues over in Europe, and, you know, so they're gaining experience, you know, in those regards. So, you know, that should help on the development, you know, side of it. And, you know, the, so again, I think it's you kind of, you never know truly what to expect, you know, coming into the draft. Obviously, you know, picking in the positions that we're in the latter parts of the rounds, you know, so you hope that some guys, you know, fall into the right spot that you can get lucky.
You know, Chevy, we were joking after you selected Simon Lundmark that the team already had the Jets jersey with Lundmark on the back, and obviously, you know, you're not sure if he's going to go before the 51st overall pick, but is this a guy that it's safe to say that you were very happy to get at 51 overall?
Yeah, for sure. You know, we obviously had him, ranked in a position that, we felt that, we could be taking, at a position like that or at a position even earlier. So, you know, having the name bar was, again, part of the whole preparation process.
Now, Kevin, do you know from this draft crop which guys are going to be attending development camp? And also, obviously, as you touched on earlier, you're not expecting these guys to be making the team next year. So what do you really evaluate when you're seeing these guys roll into Winnipeg next week for the development camp?
Well, so development camp isn't so much an evaluation process. It really is a development process. You're trying to get the guys on the ice, work with the coaches so the coaches can, start imparting, some of the things that they believe are important, from a player perspective. Not X's and O's, not those kind of things, but, little things that, a defenseman can learn how to, do at a pro level that maybe they don't, either get taught or don't do at an amateur level or a forward, handling the puck along the boards, things that they maybe could get away with at college or junior or even in Europe that they can't get away with in the, at the pro level here in the National League. So those are the on-ice components that you're looking at. You're trying to teach them. It's not about, evaluating where they're at. Some guys, like Nikkanen, is coming off an injury and different things like that. So you're still working on, some of the different levels of rehab for some guys. And you do have to understand it is, the middle of the summer and you want to make sure that, the guys get ready there. Off ice, you obviously, nutrition, just off ice things like that, developing pro habits, both on and off the ice is really the major message of the week.
Yeah, learning how to deal with us in the media, right, Kevin?
Oh, you guys are gems. You guys are true.
Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff, our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Kevin, the Jets obviously had their final selections in round 5, where they had pick 134 and 144. Was there any thought to getting back into round 6 or 7? Were there any players on the board that you may have traded a late round pick next year for to get back into the draft this year?
If you looked at our list and then you saw the crossed off names, it was a pretty tight list. So I think things unfolded, somewhat like we had hoped, that they would. Sometimes there's opportunities to jump back in, but we felt comfortable, where we were at, that, we got a group of players that, that we were comfortable with. And you keep an eye on some things, but, there was the list kind of really tightened up, right near the end.
Now, Chevy, it's obviously been a long week for you and Zinger, Larry Simmons, the amateur and pro scouting staff. So I imagine you want to, have a little bit of rest after, rounds 2 through 7. But, you obviously have a lot of players to sign, a lot of moving parts here. But are you able to relax at all, or is it just back to work, when you get back to Winnipeg? And I imagine Sunday or Monday.
Yeah, no, you're really back to work. Like, we're going to stay over here. There's a couple of agents that, you kind of try to, spend some time with, after the draft here. Obviously, the talking period opens, as well. We're not obviously, going to be, dealing in the big fish market, when it comes to the free agent standpoint. But, you might start, dabbling your toe in some of the depth side of things, or obviously, we do have a lot of work. So there's not a lot of time, to really sit back here yet. The summer is going to be, pretty busy, for us on many fronts. And it really, one chapter closes here. When you close your draft book, you open up the next challenge in front of you.
No, Kevin, I know you're not going to talk about the RFAs because you don't negotiate in public, but is there an excitement for you seeing this crop of young players who are getting a chance to really take their game to the next level? Sammy Niku, Tucker Poolman, Mason Appleton, Christian Vesalainen, just to name a few?
Well, it is interesting. We haven't kind of, been in that mode for a while where, you've had the opportunity, to see some of those younger guys. They kind of, you know, find their way in. But you know, these guys again, they have an opportunity in front of them to play. You know, if we don't make some changes or you know, different things do occur, they might have an opportunity to to take on a bigger role. But they've, you know, Sammy Niku obviously was defenseman of the year 2 years ago in the American Hockey League, and got a chance to, you know, start to acclimate himself, at the National Hockey League level, and so you're looking, for continued growth there. Same with a player like Tucker Pullman, and like any young player, you know, there's still a lot that has to be earned, and the competition is going to be tough for them, because again, there's still, lots of things that can unfold as the summer progresses.
Kevin Cheveldayoff, Winnipeg Jets general manager, is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Kevin, just a couple minutes ago, I'm not sure if you're aware, I assume you are, the salary cap officially come out for next season at $81.5 million, obviously not as high as you would have preferred. So what are your initial thoughts upon seeing the $81.5 million salary cap?
Well, you've heard the rumors of it here for the last, certainly a couple of days since we've been here, and you're conditioning yourself to, change, some things that might have been on your spreadsheets, because of some prior, type of intel, that had been handed out or anything like that. But, now we have our number. Now it becomes your basis of what you and the other 30 teams, have to work with. And you roll up your sleeves, sharpen your pencils, and go from there.
From your perspective, how hard is it to do your job without knowing the salary cap? I mean, in an ideal world, obviously you would know this well in advance, but isn't that something that you might want to discuss with some of your colleagues about going forward, about maybe getting that number firmed up earlier than the 22nd of June?
Yeah, so it's something that everyone discusses, and there's different levels of it even too, like you're signing, whatever, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8 year contracts with players that, you're dealing purely on speculation on a lot of fronts. Obviously the cap is a derivative of hockey-related revenue, and there's a mechanism, in there as well from an inflator standpoint that used to be something that, was kind of a given that the full inflator was going to be used. And in the last couple of years, it's only been a fraction of that inflator that has been used. And we can be frustrated. We can kind of say whatever we want, but, now we have our number. Now we have to go to work.
Chevy, last few questions for you here, and we obviously appreciate you coming on. It's been a long day, a long weekend. We wanted to ask you about Marcel Comeau because, watching at home, I just thought that was such a nice touch. Marcel Comeau making the pick, Ville Heinola. Obviously, Marcel, longtime head amateur scout of the Thrashers / Jets. Now Mark Hillier is your head amateur scout. Just a few words on, what Marcel Comeau has meant to the organization over the last number of years.
Well, so certainly, we had a little dinner the night before as well, and I'd made the announcement that, Marcel was going to be, selecting our pick and informed everyone that he was, going to retire. Marcel was a guy that, obviously when the team came over and was in full transition from coming from Atlanta to Winnipeg, we made the change. We added, we made him the head pro scout, and obviously the selection and the courage to select a player like Mark Scheifele, just really, helped set the tone for, how we wanted, them to feel, the scouts to feel that this was their, this was their list. This wasn't, some outside service or some outside book or outside magazine or anything like that, that they needed to have that courage and conviction and that desire. And Mars was the guy that, had the courage to be on the top. And so from the drafting standpoint, he's meant a great deal. From the development standpoint of even scouts, just within our group, obviously Mark Hillier was his assistant at the time and made a seamless transition, to take over when Marcel took a step back on the scouting side. So, great person, really good scout, and someone that is always going to be a good friend. I made some jokes actually, about him as well, because when he coached the Saskatoon Blades there, he always had the toughest teams around, so we called him a goon coach when I had to play against him back then. But he just told me he just played the hand that he was dealt. He had nothing to do with it. So, part of, always going to be part of our organization moving forward.
Kevin Cheveldayoff, our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Kevin, I think it was earlier in the week, yourself and some of the other general managers in the league said that this is probably the busiest time it's been in the last number of years with regard to conversations and with regard to general managers and their phones ringing. There were certainly some significant deals made earlier today. Were you surprised that there weren't more deals made, or is this sort of what you expected?
I don't know. You know, again, as my week unfolded, you know, prior to the draft, obviously, we made the trade. It really became apparent to me in my conversations that teams were not willing to part with first-round draft picks very, very easily. So, those conversations, probably led to a lot of, you know, things that maybe, you know, were being discussed but not happened. And, I think that, there's always discussion that goes on that, you know, kind of gets banked. And, some guys have maybe some different pressure points with the cap, with different contracts that they have to sign that, maybe now that we know that, what the number is, that'll, open up some things or not. I couldn't tell you for sure, but, these things always tend to take different, different directions than something, that you could kind of bank on as a pattern in the past.
Last one for you, Kevin. Have to ask it. We're obviously 9 days or so away from the start of unrestricted free agency. Any progress with any of your pending UFAs? Are you expecting most of them to hit, or all of them to hit, the actual market on July 1st?
Yeah, again, I'm not really going to handicap any of those.
I have to ask.
You can't blame Drew for trying, right?
And I have to give you the standard answer.
That's all good. We appreciate it. We both have a job to do, and we did it well in that situation. Kevin Cheveldayoff, Winnipeg Jets general manager. You've done the yeoman's work over the course of the weekend. Go get some rest. Thanks so much for joining us this afternoon on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Thanks very much.
Take care, Kevin. Whew. How do you like it, guys? There you go. Right. 5+ hours of coverage here of day two of the 2019 NHL draft.
I'm ready for bed.
Yeah. I can do another five.
You can do another five?
Like, honestly, I actually might go to bed when I get home.
No, you won't go to bed because we got work to do. What are you talking about? We got to do the Jets recap of the week. We got to do the, we got to post all the audio from
Kevin
Cheveldayoff.
You want to do a podcast?
We can do a podcast. Yeah, why don't we do a podcast?
It'll all be available on illegalcurve.com. Wow, a great 5+ hours with you. We hope you've enjoyed it, listening to us as much as we've enjoyed bringing it to you here.
There's a murmur in the crowd, Drew.
TSN 1290. A big thank you to our sponsors. We have to give them a shout out because without them, this is not possible. Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, and of course, Bernstein's Deli. Support these fine local businesses because they support Illegal Curve Hockey. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. If you missed any of this 5+ hours, it's going to be available on tsn1290.ca. It's available on illegalcurve.com. It's also available wherever you get your podcasts. Download it, get it sent to your device automatically each and every week. Rate us, review us, let us know what you think of the program. A big thank you, a big shout out. He brought us cookies. He also did a great job behind the board. Producer Chris Curry doing a great job this afternoon.
Yeah, the brains of the operation.
There you go. Yeah. For Dave Minuk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on your home of the Jets, TSN Radio, 1290.